speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Monday, the first day of July, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at what happened over the weekend. We had a lot of pride parades celebrating the beginning of the gay pride movement in Stonewall. And, of course, they did that in New York by attacking a Chick-fil-A, of course. That kind of tolerance that they're looking for, right? And it was even worse in Portland, where we had a journalist violently attacked. Beaton will show you the disgusting video parts of it. I imagine that, you know, that will be shut down on Twitter. However, the people who were calling for this in advance are not being shut down. That doesn't violate Twitter's rules to call for violence. But if you show their violence and condemn it, that violates Twitter rules. So we're going to violate Twitter rules. And we're going to show you that information because you have a right to know what's going on. You also have a right to know that these people are openly talking about using cement and concrete. And the Portland police have put out a notification on Twitter that, yes, there was concrete and cement in these milkshakes that they were throwing. But that wasn't the what happened to this journalist. This journalist was violently and physically attacked and had milkshakes with concrete thrown on him. Some people are in the hospital with brain injuries because of concrete in the so-called milkshakes. I said before, it was about a month ago, I guess, when this was a fad by the leftist fascists in the UK. And understand, they are fascists. These are people who they're the only way that they are not fascists is that they don't identify with a national cause. That's the only difference. I mean, to the left, the idea of fascism versus socialist or communist, the fascists of people would be people who identified with nationalism. Except the problem is that Hitler called himself a national socialist. You know, socialists, they say, would not be identifying with rabid nationalism. But, you know, Hitler called himself a socialist, national socialist, Nazis. That's what we get that from. Quite frankly, I think that we ought to understand these people who say that they are anti-fascist have all of the tactics and the accoutrements of fascism, the authoritarianism that is there from both the left and the right. It doesn't really matter whether you come to this authoritarianism by extolling the virtues of nationalism or by condemning it, by extolling the virtues of internationalism or by condemning it. Nevertheless, whatever path you take, you wind up the same place. And I pointed this out many times in the Nolan chart map of political philosophies. The authoritarians of both the left and the right don't offer you any freedoms, economic or social freedom. So there really isn't any difference once they get into power. It's just whatever lies they tell you to get into power. And one of the key lies that these people of the left, these violent mobsters who've taken to the street with their faces covered in masks, why would they do that? Because they are criminals. They're just like bank robbers. They're robbing you of your free speech, of your human rights. They want to rob you of your property and everything else that we have here in this country. And so, like the robbers they are, they cover their face with masks. And as you'll see when we show this to you, the key thing, there's that clip right there, the Nolan chart, as you can see. And, of course, you get that by charting out people's economic commitment to freedom and their commitment to individual liberty. And if they don't have either, they go right down there at the bottom. You take that chart, you turn it on a 45-degree angle so you get a diamond. That's so that we can get the left and the right traditionally there and the centrist. But you got the authoritarians at the bottom, you got the libertarians up at the top. Who want to have freedom in both areas. We're going to talk about these people. They really are anti-First Amendment. That's really what they are. Anti-FA. Anti-First Amendment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. It's not only that you have a unique voice in the public arena, in the public square. The other thing that's unique about InfoWars is it is the only network of this reach that is not backed by a corporate donor or corporate sugar daddy, that's not backed by some billionaire, that's not being funded by a secret foreign government. It is completely independent of all that. It is an old school American 1776 style experiment in the expression of the freedom of press and freedom of speech that, in fact, the founders were so concerned with at the beginning of the country, they actually tried to support and subsidize organizations just like this because this was the kind of press they wanted. And then ultimately, we now live in an era where they've mostly been co-opted by big corporations or billionaire sugar daddies who've been able to control and manipulate what news and views the person's allowed to have or express or hear. And the InfoWars audience has broken through that. They are the bridge from the founding to the modern age, ultimate American democracy and freedom. And that's why there's been an unprecedented onslaught of deplatforming, defamation, lawfare, and libel targeting you.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this July 1st, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to start with the riots in Portland. And there was camera footage of an elderly man being beaten with a crowbar. And in Portland, the mayor and the police don't do anything about it. Of course, we've also had a journalist that's been highly publicized, but also a person in a wheelchair being beaten by a crowbar. Why? Because he is trying to exercise his free speech in the public square. Let me tell you something that bothers me about this. It's not just the violence that we see in Portland and the government stepping aside. When I look at this, what I see is a physical expression of what Twitter and Facebook and Google are doing to conservatives in the digital public square, and the government, including President Trump, is standing aside, doing nothing, just like this mayor in Portland does nothing about the physical violence. And folks, when you allow this kind of violence against free speech, this kind of hatred, not only, it's not a hatred even of our speech that bothers me. It is a hatred of the idea that we have free speech. This is why I call these people anti-First Amendment. That's really what Antifa is. They are fascist as anybody is. But they've wisely chosen this label. The left is afraid to oppose them because, you know, fascism is evil. And it is evil. And they don't even understand what fascism is. They don't understand that Hitler called himself a socialist. He was a national socialist, as I said before. I don't really care what the labels and the lies that you use to get into power. There was no difference, ultimately, between Hitler and Stalin. One of them was a rabid nationalist. One of them was a rabid internationalist. One of them called himself a socialist. The other one called himself a communist. And as Hitler said, he thought it was a mistake for Stalin to nationalize all the industries all at once because he said he doesn't know how to run them. I'm going to let the people who know how to run the trains on time operate the trains and operate the Zyklon B factories and so forth. I'm going to let these people operate because they know how to build the planes and the guns. And I'm at the very end, I will take everything from them. That was his point. But he said, you know, Stalin did it in the wrong order. He took everything at the beginning. They both were going to the same place. And if we follow these people, we might as well get on the trains to the real concentration camps. Not the nonsense that they're talking about at the border. No, I'm talking about the real concentration camps. And you can see the hatred and the violence in the streets. Do these people act any different than Hitler's brown shirts, even though they're not wearing brown shirts? They know what they're doing is wrong. That's why they cover their face. They're cowards. And so in New York, we'll get to what happened in New York. It was a minor incident. But let's talk a little bit first about what happened in Portland. Had a journalist, Andy No, I think is the way he pronounced his name, assaulted by Antifa protesters in Portland. Run a little bit of that B-roll there as I talk about this, guys. He's the editor of Quillet. You know, that's the same magazine we just saw the black reporter talking about reparations. Look at this. Look at this. They come up and hit him, smack him in the face, and then they continue to follow him. They're throwing those milkshakes, by the way, have concrete in them. Look at that. What cowards. Blindsiding somebody like that, they don't have the courage not only to show their face, they don't have the courage to stand up and take somebody on directly. They come out there wearing helmets and with crowbars to beat people in wheelchairs. They did that as well as attacking this guy. Look at that. They all gang up and team up on him. As he's walking away, they come up and sucker punch him in the back. He was beaten pretty badly in that. And he went to the hospital that. He had his ear torn. And the Portland police put out a tweet and said, the police have received information that some of the milkshakes thrown today during the demonstration contained quick-drying cement. We are encouraging anyone hit with a substance today to report it to the police. And again, we have another comment on that. This is put together by Breitbart. Harmeet K. Dillon tweeted, anybody know who these thugs are that are pictured? They participate in the milkshaking assaults that landed Andy No in the hospital overnight with a brain bleed. The criminal conspiracy needs to be investigated, stopped, and punished. Well, I had a listener friend who's sent me information in the past, sent me a lot of snapshots. Show these snapshots of some of the tweets that came out. This was, in fact, a criminal conspiracy. They were planning this in advance. As some of these people, this is one Twitter account, Popular Mobilization. Folks have been asking for it. We're excited to finally unveil this sweet gem for our brilliant art team. Just a sample of what to expect June the 29th. We'll have vegan milkshakes. You bring the shakes and shake back the streets. No pride for proud boys and so forth. And then they went on with this. Penned this tweet up. So we hear folks are dying to know what is in our delicious vegan shakes. We're happy to share our recipe. We're calling it Stonewall Shake. And then they go on to talk about how they can put cement in it, but they carefully craft this in kind of a double entendre. It is a fact that if you put a little bit of sugar in a cement mix, then it, affects the cement, it doesn't harden as quickly, and it hardens more, it gets harder in the long run. But they start putting in these statements about how to mix concrete in with the milkshakes. That's the whole point. And now the Portland police have said, yes, there was quick-drying cement in these milkshakes that they threw at people. Because that's their hatred. It's not enough for them to ruin somebody's camera equipment, to ruin somebody's expensive suit like they did with Nigel Farage and so forth. And I talked about this a month ago when this was happening in the UK. It became a thing there. And I even was disappointed to see people that I really do respect for the most part, but they got overwhelmed in their political hatred of Nigel Farage, for example. There's one individual who's a reporter who covers Bilderberg frequently. I've met him. I agree with him on Bilderberg, but he thought it was okay to throw milkshakes. He thought it was wrong for Nigel Farage to ask the police to investigate this, even though I don't know how much a suit cost. Most people don't think about how expensive suits are when they get ruined. But I pointed out at the time, I said, look, you got to understand, it's all the difference in the world. If you hurl an insult at somebody, that is now criminalized, right? You can't have an insult to anybody. You're going to get taken off of social media. But I said, hurling an insult is okay. But if you hurl a milkshake or anything else at somebody, that is assault. It is assault. And if you hit them with it, that is battery. And it ought to be punished. And especially if you start putting cement in the milkshakes, because it's just not hurtful enough for these hateful Antifa people. Ricky Gervais has now come out saying the same thing right after the journalist, Andy No, was beaten by Antifa. He came out and said, it's interesting that the people who believe that throwing a milkshake in somebody's face shouldn't be considered assault are often the same people who believe that saying things should be considered assault and should be punished. That's exactly what I said a month ago. And now we see that even though you have a so-called journalist, look, if you don't support free speech and the free press, I'm not going to call you a journalist. You are a fascist. You are simply a fascist, an authoritarian. This guy's name is Carlos Maza. He put out a tweet back in May when this was going on, encouraging people to throw milkshakes at figures whose political beliefs he didn't agree with. Shut them down. Kick them out of the public square. And now, evidently, they don't violate Twitter policies. He's still there. They don't have a problem with that. Twitter doesn't have a problem with that. I'm sure they'll take me down for showing you the picture of what they do to people. But, of course, you know, if you say something about it, if you say something, or they'll take you down. If you show what they did, they'll take you down. But, you know, hey, they're welcome to do that because they're entitled, because Twitter and Google and Facebook like their politics.
Serving with InfoWars is a great honor, but I still need my morning coffee. And luckily, our break room at the InfoWars headquarters is stocked full of high-quality InfoWars Store Patriot Blend coffee. Grown in the high mountains of southern Mexico, the Chiapas farmers grow 100% organic, non-GMO coffee at the ideal altitude for the perfect cup. A robust coffee with great flavor and mild acidity. There has never been a more important time to support InfoWars. So if you love coffee, and if you want to fight for freedom, then you can help. Order now at the InfoWars store. Sign up for AutoShip and get your own high-quality supply of Patriot Blend coffee delivered right to your door at InfoWarsStore.com.
I just want listeners to understand, money is what allows us to beat this and stand against this. And we're seeing a lot of orders right now with the Save InfoWars 50% off, but we make only like $5, $10 on higher marked up stuff. We're making like $2 on the toothpaste at that price. And we're moving a ton of it, okay? But you move a couple $100,000 or something and you get $20,000. That doesn't pay for all the infrastructure, the bandwidth, the lawyers, the crew. So we need to sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of product. I want to expand, not contract. And for 6 months, we've not just been at a standstill. The enemy's been winning, and I have labored and labored and labored and labored on this. I like to be expanding. I like to be winning. I like to be fighting, and we are winning the info war. That's why we're so hated, but we need to be retreaded. We need to be tuned up. We need to be fixed up. We never have time to get into dry dock. We got a lot of holes shot at us, and the enemy wants to silence us. Then they're really going to plant child porn on us. Then they're going to kill me or you or anybody else. I mean, the Democrats now are going into a full revolutionary fervor funded by foreign banks and the Chi-Com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. Let's talk to Marcus in New York. Marcus, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I just want to say, your show is a breath of fresh air. I talk to a lot of people here out in New York City, and one thing I can tell you is that almost nobody agrees with these wars. I think that the neocons are trying desperately to get Trump to go to a war because they know that that's the only way that they could defeat him in the eyes of the public approaching 2020.
That's it. I mean, if Trump buys into this, it'll be the end of his presidency. It's the only way I think he can be defeated other than assassinating him. It's a time to be praying, my friend.
I agree entirely. And the last thing I just want to say, Alex, is I know they're trying to shut you down, but the reinforcements have arrived, man. I would love to see you on air until you're 80 years old. I would love to see what you're talking about when you're 80. But if they do shut you down, know you've gone into this war. You've won a lot of battles, and there are a lot of people like myself and many others who are going to continue. We're going to keep fighting in the info war. And even if something does happen to you or your show, know for a fact that you've gotten a lot of people fired up for liberty.
Thank you, sir, for calling. Clown World, InfoWars.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's already being printed. Your new ultra-limited edition Clown World t-shirt will be shipped out to you. And on the back, like a concert t-shirt, Clown World 2020, Cory Booker and all the rest of the usual suspects. We're going to have live coverage, and there's only 5,000 of these being printed. And that's it, and it funds the operation. It's a Clown World, and we're just living in it. Celebrate the circus that is Democratic debates for this exclusive limited time Clown Brown World Shirt. $19.95. Really soft, nice, high quality fabric. Whole nine yards for everybody. No reviews yet. And yes, we're running store wide free shipping. 50% off of the supplements and double Patriot points. And that's how we fund this operation. Thanks to you, the amazing audience, and this amazing crew, everybody else, we will prevail. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Please support us today. These sales are big.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
You know, the journalist who was attacked and is in the hospital because of the Antifa violence against him, Andy No, warned that Antifa is violent and an anti-American revolutionary movement. He did this in an interview with Tucker Carlson before the events of this last week. And what he said when he was on with Tucker Carlson was, he said, I think Portland is an example of what happens when you have a city that is an ideological monoculture with no counterpoints. That's precisely what they want, however. That's what they want on the internet as well. A monoculture. I've said this about what's going on in Europe, for example. Nowhere else, I think, can you see the lie of a gray monoculture being imposed on an entire region in the name of multiculturalism than in what we see in Europe. Europe, which used to have a rich tapestry of different cultures, architecture, people groups, languages, you name it. All of that is being subsumed into this monoculture that is being dictated by the political correctness masters and by the central government in Europe. And if you want to know what this looks like, just take a look at Portland or take a look at what the internet is becoming. As I said before, you know, when we look at these thugs who are violently attacking people in the public square, they're not arguing with anybody. No, they're not going to have any viewpoints out there. There's not going to be, we are postmodern. You know, modernism, you try to persuade people, you know, have debates and so forth. No debates. No debates. We're beyond that. They want to destroy America. They want to tear down the foundations of America. Quite literally, tearing down even statues. That's the final stage of that. First they tear down the ideas and they tear down any visual representations of ideas. That's why they're tearing down the statues everywhere. And they attack anybody that disagrees with them. Physically attack them. When these people get power, these Democrats that Antifa supports, these Democrats that are allied with these people, these Democrats that protect them, when they get power, folks, they're going to do this type of thing using the power of the state against you. Yes, it is exactly what George Orwell warned about in 1984. It's what we've seen, both Stalin's communist Russia and in Hitler's Nazi National Socialist Germany. These people are not anti-fascism, they're anti-First Amendment, anti-FA, anti-First Amendment. Anyway, Andy No went on to say, these ideas on the left become more radicalized in their own echo chambers because they're not being opposed. They don't allow any counterpoint. There's no counter-argument. That's the whole reason that they do this. This is the whole reason why they're setting up the internet to be a monoculture with no counterpoints. You know, we look at this, as I said, it is a physical representation of the thugism that is being practiced by a handful of giant corporations, the biggest corporations the world has ever known. And again, it is the hypocrisy of this. Just as we see these people who call themselves anti-fascists acting as fascists, we see the hypocrisy of these organizations are these political parties who always hate everything that corporations do. Corporations can do nothing right. That's why I always said that about the left, about the Democrats, right? Problem with the Democrats and the socialists is they think that corporations can do business, not necessarily corporation, but businesses can do nothing right. Government does everything right. Don't criticize government. That's the position of the Democrats. As I said, many people who are libertarians and conservatives have just the opposite opinion. They believe that government can do nothing wrong, that corporations can never do, or government can do no right, and corporations can never do anything that's wrong. The reality is is that the true evil comes when the corporations and the governments collude together, and that is true fascism. True fascism is when the corporations and the governments, the corporation and the government combine and work together in a public-private partnership. And what we see happening on the internet is exactly what we see happening here on the streets in Portland. Think about the fact, is it okay if these Portland Antifa thugs come up and steal your stuff? How about if they come up and beat you? Is that okay? How about if they take your rights instead of your property, your free speech, by intimidating you? Is that all right? Okay, let's say you don't think so. I'm sure you don't. No reasonable person would. Only the Democrats would defend that. Let's talk about corporations, however. Is it okay for a corporation to act the same way as these Antifa thugs in the street in Portland? Is it okay for a corporation to steal your property or to steal your rights because your free speech rights are your property? Is that okay? How about if the companies own that public square? Can they then steal your property if you step on their public square? Can they then steal your rights, your free speech, if you step on that public square because they privately own it? Well, the Supreme Court has said no. And I don't really care whether the Supreme Court acknowledges that that is wrong. It is wrong. You know it. I know it. And if government doesn't protect our rights, that government needs to be altered or abolished. And we're not going to be able to abolish the federal government, but we can at the local level. We can cut them off. We can nullify their presence in our society at the local level if we get people who will stand up to them elected at the local level. That is the only hope we got left. These idiots in Washington are too busy feathering their own nest, setting up deals for their sons and daughters and the next generation like we see with Ivanka and Jared Kushner. They're too busy feathering the nest to really do anything to protect our rights. That's really the way I see it. And, you know, what if the big companies don't just own the public square? What if the big companies own the government? Think about that, lefties. Because that's really what's happening here. That's what's happening. We have the biggest corporations ever in the history of the world. As a matter of fact, people are looking at Facebook and saying, well, you know, they're kind of acting like a government. They're starting their own currency, and actually it's going to be a global currency, and they're going to have more of an impact and more of a presence than a government does once they start controlling people's money, once they know everything about people. Yes, that's right. They not only own the government, you're not going to see the federal government do anything about these corporations that are acting like Antifa thugs in the digital public square. Beating you, kicking you out of the public square, and then continuing to hit you from behind as we see them do with Alex Jones, for example. Constantly slandering and smearing him after he's been kicked out of the public square. Kicked out of their public square because they own everything, right? Oh, they're entitled. They somehow won the lottery. No, they didn't. They're not smarter than everybody else. They're more corrupt than anybody else. Anyway, going back to this particular physical expression, Andy says the city is also very secular, Portland. So there's an erosion of traditional sources of purpose and meaning. Instead of religion, people are turning to political ideologies, and they want to be heroes. But instead of dedicating their lives to service or to joining the military, they're joining movements like Antifa, and they're going out on the street to fight because they think they're actually in a battle with fascists. He goes on to say the genius in Antifa is actually in their name, and that's always the way it is. I've always said that. The left has a superpower, and that is coming up with a lying label that is above criticism or co-opting a label that somebody likes. Nobody likes fascism. So you call yourself an anti-fascist when you're just anti-free speech, anti-freedom. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I talk about this on the air, and I know it sinks into people, but I've decided that we're going to kind of reboot all our supplements, and that if you go back 5-6 years ago, before all the censorship and attacks and fake lawsuits, the rest of it, I would talk about how great the products are and how they were the best and why they were, and I'd have doctors on and experts to explain why they were so good. And instead, the last few years, I'm like, hey, you need to really support us, or they'll shut us down. The biggest thing people like to buy is supplements because they know how great they are and how wonderful they work. And the left always has headlines everywhere. Jones sells unapproved supplements that he claims are supplements. No, under federal law since 1996, you can't say that a supplement has been through the FDA because they have no jurisdiction and won't look at it. But then they say you've got to say it's not approved by them. And all drugs are is the system trying to tweak what's in Mother Nature and manipulate it and do different things. And a lot of drugs work great. They have side effects, not with Mother Nature. But Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about God's medicine chest. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Viewers and listeners, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And we're under unprecedented evil attacks, as you've seen. But I wanted to take just a minute out here from the bottom of my heart to tell you how much it means to me that when you saw all those lies against us last week, the worst things you can say about people, that you knew they were liars. You went and looked it up and found out the truth. And so I feel very strong, and I feel God's hand on my shoulder, and I feel your love in my heart. And I want you to know that love is right back at you. And I want to thank you for all you've done with your word of mouth and your prayers and your financial support. Because I'm committed to fight to the end, but I want to win. And without you, I'm going to be destroyed, and it's not going to be fun. But that's not what's important. The enemy could win. We're a key chess piece in this fight. We're being used by God. You're being used by God. This is Providence. So I salute you, and I thank you for all you've done from the bottom of my heart.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Briefly, folks, please do not forget, this is the Maximum Alert. We wouldn't be here without you. I thank you for your support and your help. We're going to be steadfast in this fight, but we need financial support, and we're going to put up more prominent donate buttons at InfoWarsStore.com. If you want to just give us straight donations, there's a P.O. box. If you want to mail us a check, we will put it into the fight against these globalists. We need money to fight back and to let them know we're taking action and to defend ourselves. InfoWarsStore.com is the main page. We have a huge sale going. Save InfoWars, super special, emergency special, 50% off. All InfoWars best-selling life products, all of them, 50% off. That's Supermel Vitality, Survival Shield X2, now back in stock. Rainforce Plus, Turbo Force, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, so many more. Stock up on the toothpaste, the coffee. Sign up for AutoShip and an additional 10% off. And I forgot, double Patriot points. Instead of 5% off on future orders, you get 10% off. And again, cancel AutoShip anytime for free. We need the funding. Thank you for your support. We're getting a lot of support right now, but we need a lot to go into this dark night. We're not going to back down.
In the 40 years that I've been in American politics, I've never seen a situation with the mainstream media in which facts and truth and evidence no longer matters. The false claim that you purposely sent kiddie porn to the Sandy Hook plaintiffs is ludicrous as well as false. It's a smear. Somebody sends you something that's encrypted. You don't even open it. It ends up swept up in the discovery of 9 million documents, and then it's blamed on you. This is Kafka-esque. This is bizarre. But the way the mainstream media rushes out to say Jones sent kiddie porn is really outrageous. I have a lot of respect for those media outlets and those commentators who retracted and corrected and clarified. But I wonder, where are the big boys? Where's the Wall Street Journal? Where's Associated Press? When are they going to report that they made a mistake and what they said about you was inaccurate? So we both need your help, and I urge folks to continue to support InfoWars with your dollars.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Paul Joseph Watson has put up on summit.news a video of Danish middle schoolers being taught to chant Allahu Akbar. And there is a controversy about this. Actually, it was a class, and there was a mother who was from Sudan, and I guess she didn't have a problem with it. She was really kind of proud, I guess, maybe of that might be her son who was indoctrinating all these other children in the school. She was told, do not put that up on the internet. She did it anyway. It went viral. It has all these ethnically Danish children there, and one boy of African descent there at the front in Muslim clothing. And he is training them how to do a Muslim prayer and to chant Allahu Akbar, which means not God is great, but God is greater. In other words, our God is greater than your God or your religion or your culture or your law, because that's what Islam is. It is not only a religion, but it is a culture and a legal system when fully implemented. And you can see this across the world. The clip was filmed by the Sudanese mother of one of the children, as he points out. After it was leaked, numerous people called for school officials to be fired. Said, what are you doing indoctrinating these children into Islam? According to the headmaster, he's never experienced anything like this. And the Danish People's Party demanded an explanation from the school and also asked the school management if they intended to teach pupils Islam's dark side and its widespread fundamentalism, in addition to its massive religious and social control. And as Watson adds to his article, strangely enough, there appear to be very few videos of Muslim kids being taught how to worship Christ in Christian churches. Are there any such videos? None that I'm aware of, quite frankly. Which brings us to the point, folks. You know, when you look at this, you should ask yourself, not only who is educating your children, but what is the purpose of educating? What is the purpose of education itself, right? Do institutions of education serve us well in this? Let's go back to the late 1800s, right after the Civil War, to a Presbyterian theologian in the South. His name is Robert Louis Dabney. And he could understand where this is all headed. And he talked about it in a very logical manner. You know, he didn't say, well, you know, I see this happening in the future. No, he just analyzed it like we do here all the time. He said, here's how this is going to shape out, okay? He says, if you're going to have state control of America's school system, and remember, when he wrote this in the 1800s, there's only a couple of places where state control had been put in, and that was in the New England states. He said, compulsory state-run schools, which, by the way, later became a key demand of the socialists and the communists, compulsory state-funded education. One of their key planks, and they got it. And look at what it has done to our society. And he saw this. He saw this about 150 years ago. He saw this and what would happen 70 to 80 years before the Supreme Court threw prayer out of public school and any expression of religion, of the Christian religion, out of public schools. He knew that compulsory state-run schools would not allow for religious instruction. And he also knew that what it would eventually lead to is an imposition of completely anti-Christian values. It's not that the two are going to exist peacefully, coexist side by side. No, no, no. And you can already see this. You see this as Islam is taking over in Europe, but you also see it as the LGBT religion, and that's what it is taking over here in America. They are absolutely intolerant of any other viewpoint. And so he points out, he says, well, let's think how this is going to run. You've got a school system here, and if the government runs the school system, what's it going to look like? He said, you've got people of all different religions. You've got Catholics, you've got Protestants, you've got Jews, you've got Muslims, you've got atheists. How are you going to accommodate all these people in a school system? Well, here's the four different ways you can do this. You can force the religion of the majority on the minority. Or you could give each denomination its own schools endowed by the state, he put it. Today we would call that a voucher or a charter school, right? Number three, you could give unsectarian religious instruction in just the first hour of the day. Or number four, you could just secularize the state's teaching absolutely. Now, I find it interesting that, you know, we have some people that are looking at option number two, letting each denomination have its own schools, call that voucher schools or charter schools. Nevertheless, they still would ban any mention, express mention of values or religious values in those schools as a condition of getting that voucher. So not even there are we talking about putting that into place. But we saw option number three given unsectarian religious instruction in the first hour of the day, we saw an attempt with that in the early part of the 20th century. We'd get kids together, you know, and they would do a Pledge of Allegiance. They would say a prayer that was pretty generic, didn't really have any understanding or meaning about that. And that eventually got purged out as well. So then you're left really with number four, which is what he said back in the 1870s is where we would go. He said, you're going to, if you try to force majority religion on people, that's going to be struck down by the First Amendment, and it should be. He said, having a variety of religious state schools would result in many denominational schools not having enough students to fill schools in all the locations. So that's not going to work either. Plus, they're also going to invoke the idea that you have to have separation of religion. And again, same problem, even if you just do it for an hour or so, or just even 5 minutes at the beginning of school. And so he realized, as we have now fallen into this pattern, that secularizing state education was going to be the way that it's going to happen. He said, to matters merely secular, the schools would be limited, and it would leave parents or churches to supplement it with religious teaching as they please, or to do none at all. And so he says, is that something that we really want to have? And he talks about, he says, we have to ask, what is education? You know, we look at this situation here with the kids and whether they're being taught about transgender sexual confusion, or whether they're being taught Allahu Akbar in the schools, or whether they're being taught secular humanism. No values at all. And actually, that isn't an option. And that's his point. You're never taught no values. He goes, education is the nurture and the development of the whole man. The end of education is moral. And the state admits that. The state says, we are training people to be citizens, right? They are imparting values. The question is, whose values? He says, is it really a secularized education? Is that possible? He says, first of all, no people of any age, religion, or civilization before ours has ever thought that you could have education of children without any values. Nobody has ever thought that before ours. Second, true education is, in any sense, a spiritual process, the nurturing of a soul. Third, if secular education is to be made consistently and honestly non-Christian, then all its more important branches must be omitted, or they must submit to a mutilation and a falsification that is far worse than absolute omission. You can't see how nobody can teach history, psychology, ethics, law, even science, without either favorably or unfavorably presenting the beliefs of Christianity. It's too far embedded. And so he says, shall the secular education leave the young citizen today ignorant of his own ancestry? There's the history. No, they're teaching their own version of history. They're rewriting history, right? Can the physicists give the genesis of earth and man without intimating whether it is Moses or Huxley that he is drawing from? How much of the noblest literature can be ostracized if this plan is honestly carried out? Christian truths, he said, are so woven in the very warp and woof of the knowledge of America, so beneficial and essential to our civilization, they must be destroyed. And that's what they're doing in these government, quote-unquote, secular schools. We'll be right back.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
So the InfoWars model is a self-fulfilling, self-supporting structure that is promoting free press and free speech by people getting together and supporting one another and sustaining one another. It is the only independent press of this size and scale, of this public reach. It is the one model that says, here's a way to have a self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-structured, little d democratic structure that, because the audience determines what content goes up, the audience determines what audience is ultimately reached by their choices in supporting InfoWars. And it's all because the audience spends their whatever it is, whether it's $5 or $50 a month on products that they like and that they want that actually compete with the corporate-driven model. And the ability to do that and at the same time support press, support speech, support letting the audience choose what news they want to see and what views they want to hold. And it's the ultimate American democratic expression and experiment. And it is the celebration of free press and free speech with free markets.
I want to be very, very clear with everybody about all of this. We're going into the season of war, and they have been inches from shutting down the final bank accounts we have through their criminal activity and their digital fraud. And we need to know that we've got capital to go 6 months a year. We need to end here. We need to be provisioned. And you've got my total commitment that I am going to rampage forward against the enemy fearlessly. I'm loving every minute of this because I know I'm getting under their skin. I'm bloodying them up politically. I'm banging heads with them, and they can't help but attack back with lies, and that just brings more people here. So I'm in one hell of a fight, and so are you, and I need war bonds. I need gas. I need ammo politically now. But literally, if you flood us with money, and if you flood us with product purchases, and if you flood us with your word of mouth, you're unstoppable. We're unstoppable together. I want to send a strong message to the enemy. I want to raise a couple $1 million right now to let the enemy know that their attacks are failing and that you will stand with us, and I will never back down. You have my commitment. This only gives me more energy and more understanding of what we're facing and that we were right about this. Let's talk to Marcus in New York. Marcus, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I just want to say, your show is a breath of fresh air. I talk to a lot of people here out in New York City, and one thing I can tell you is that almost nobody agrees with these wars. I think that the neocons are trying desperately to get Trump to go to a war because they know that that's the only way that they could defeat him in the eyes of the public, the approaching 2020.
That's it. I mean, if Trump buys into this, it'll be the end of his presidency. It's the only way I think he can be defeated other than assassinating him. It's a time to be praying, my friend.
I agree entirely. And the last thing I just want to say, Alex, is I know they're trying to shut you down, but the reinforcements have arrived, man. I would love to see you on air until you're 80 years old. I would love to see what you're talking about when you're 80. But if they do shut you down, know you've gone into this war. You've won a lot of battles, and there are a lot of people like myself and many others who are going to continue. We're going to keep fighting in the info war, and even if something does happen to you or your show, know for a fact that you've gotten a lot of people fired up for liberty.
Thank you, sir, for calling. Robert Barnes, what has big tech become?
Big tech are big babies that have become big bullies. And the way they did so is because they faced no consequence, social, economic, political, or legal, for their illicit activities over two decades. And because of that, that's why the courts, the judges, the juries, the members of the independent free press that care about this, the ordinary members of the public and the audience that care about this, have to bring real social, political, economic consequence to their course of conduct. Otherwise, they will never change. And they will become the big tech oligarchs, the equivalent to the big trust of the 19th century, who ran American politics and ran American economy almost into the ground until we were able to recover after the Great Depression. The InfoWars audience is the fuel that flames the light of liberty across the world to make real the actions of independent free speech, to make real the original promise of an independent free press. Real collusion is big tech and big media manipulating and working with each other to try to meddle with elections, to try to shape people's thoughts.
And then the whopper of telling us the whole time it's not happening.
It's the ultimate form of gaslighting. What you just saw isn't what you just saw. Even it is what you just saw.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Working starts to make me wonder where fruits of what I do are growing. He says in love and war all is fair. He's got cards he ain't showing.
Welcome back. I was telling you what a Christian pastor in the 1870s said where our secular education was going to lead. I began this program by showing you the product of our secular education, the Antifa thugs in the streets of Portland. That's not any exaggeration. You can see this over and over again. It's not just Portland. It's here in Austin. It's many other places. Look at the Marxism. Look at the intolerance. Look at the hatred, the violence that is coming from these people. You know, Dabney, the person I'm talking about here, R.L. Dabney, quoted John Locke, one of the philosophers that was very influential on the founders of this country. John Locke said, it is virtue, direct virtue, which is the hard and valuable part to be aimed at in education. In other words, that virtue is what we're looking for in education. Now, the government says we're going to get that virtue, making virtuous citizens out of people with a secular education. No, actually, what they were talking about was a religious-based education. And that's precisely what Andy Ngo said, the guy who was just attacked before he was attacked. He was talking about the situation in Portland. What did he say? He said, instead of religion, people are turning to political ideologies. They're intolerant. They don't hear any other messages out there. They have a state religion. and it's got many different components to it. The catechism of the state religion is a climate change and anything for to stop climate change, even though they don't have any evidence of that. The white skin privilege, political correctness to silence and censor anybody that you disagree with. You just label them as a racist or hateful or intolerant, and you can do anything hateful or intolerant to them. It's then justified with your label. All these different aspects, including socialism, redistribution of income, all of these things are the key values that are being taught in schools. So is it any surprise that our streets are filled and our campuses are filled with the ilk of these Antifa people? He went on to say that if you don't impart a Christian education to these people, that kind of virtue that built this country, you're going to wind up, even if you get the other accomplishments of education, you're going to wind up with somebody that is worse and even more dangerous than if they weren't educated at all. He says, if you're a Christian, wouldn't you want your children to be taught by godly Christians instead of by, let's say, drag queens, for example? Yeah, there are people who do want to take, they drag their kids to be taught by the drag queens at the library. But that's not what Christians are looking for. And he makes this statement, which has absolutely been demonstrated now. A non-Christian training is literally anti-Christian training. We've seen this. He said the only teachers that are going to be comfortable in a government secular education are going to kind of be half-hearted Christians or people who don't embrace Christian values at all and, in fact, are hostile to them. And that's what we see now in the schools, a blatant hostility to that. He said, though the state doesn't have to be the goal of evangelizing its citizens, it also does not have the right to become an anti-evangelical agency. He says, while we have no right to ask the state to propagate our theology, we do have a right to demand that it shall not oppose it. And our government is opposing all of the values that we have held as a culture, as a Christian religion in these very institutions. That, by the way, folks, has been the goal of the American education institution from the very beginning. If you go back to people like John Dewey, Horace Mann, others, that was their goal. Their goal was to use it as a weapon to remold and to reshape society. And that's precisely what they've done. They've remade it in the mold of Karl Marx and these other people. And so then he made a striking prediction about public schools, again, from the 1870s. He said, we have seen that their complete secularization is logically inevitable, and Christians must prepare themselves then for the following results. All prayers, catechisms, and Bibles will ultimately be driven out of the schools. He said this 80 years before the Supreme Court did that. Our Supreme Court. The same Supreme Court that has taken it upon itself to define the very essence of life and when children may be killed. The same Supreme Court that has determined that it can decide the definition of marriage and every other minute detail of our lives, moral and secular. He went on to say in the 1870s, humanity will always find out sooner or later that it cannot get on without a religion, and it will take on a false one in preference to none. Infidelity, practical ungodliness will become increasingly prevalent among our youth, and our churches will have a more arduous contest for growth, if not for their very existence. And that is precisely what we have seen. Precisely. He goes on to say the rightful role of education is not to have it institutionalized by the states. He said, God has provided for the parents social and moral influences so unique, so extensive, that no other earthly power or other all others together can substitute them in fashioning the child's character. The constant intimacies of the home side, the fireside, second by family love, ought to have the most potent forces over character that would shape it. Until the magistrate, in other words, the government, can feel a love and be nerved by it to a self-denying care and toil equal to that of a father and mother, He can show no pretext for assuming any parental function. And yet that is precisely what the government has been focused on all of my life, becoming more and more the parent. And if you want to know what kind of child the government produces, take a look at the streets of Portland. That is our future if we don't take our children out of the government education system. It is a Marxist indoctrination system. They are destroying not only the lives of our children, they're destroying their spirits as well. You better get them out of there. Here's an example out of England. Student says there's two genders. 17-year-old student got tired of what the teacher was teaching, has been now suspended for 3 weeks simply by saying that there are two genders, male and female. The teacher insisted that there's actually many genders, quote, by law, and quote, by national school policy. See, they've just done this with an edict. Oh, yes, we've got a law and we've got a national school policy that says we've got a Star Trek environment here. This is in Scotland. And the teacher told the student to, quote, keep that opinion to your own house, not in this school. In other words, as we see over this weekend, the LGBT movement celebrating its coming out party, the Stonewall events, they have decided that you are to go in the closet. They are not tolerant of you and your values, which is exactly what Debney was saying. You're going to have a set of common values. The question is, whose values are they going to be? There isn't going to be a valueless secular society. It's either going to be one or the other. The teacher that was assigned to teach personal and social education, that's her topic, scolded him for discrimination, but he argued that he was merely stating there's two genders and anything else is a personal identification. One of the teens told the Mail on Sunday he has nothing against anyone who identifies as LGBT, but completely disagrees that there are more than two genders. And he says it's a social construct. He says that he believes telling kids that boys are girls and girls are boys is a very dangerous thing. He wanted to get his views across to the teacher. His view is that scientifically there are only two genders. Yes, it is biological, it is objective, and it is binary. Bob, the antidote to LGBT. And yet, as they were having their Stonewall celebration in New York and Manhattan, they showed their tolerance by vandalizing a Chick-fil-A. They put the words F haters, they wrote it out, and an X in red duct tape bearing the same words. Defaced it, and then a small sign reading, love is a terrible thing to waste. And they were showing their love and their tolerance as they were celebrating the fact that they could be tolerated, right? See, this is what I'm saying. They do not want tolerance. They demand that you celebrate what they do. They demand that you worship what they do. There will only be a country cannot serve two masters. Folks, if you want to support us here at InfoWars, we've got an emergency sale that is going on here. We've got all of our InfoWars Life products, 50% off, plus free shipping, plus double Patriot points. This is everything from vitamins and minerals, even to toothpaste. We have a special toothpaste, no fluoride, but it has nano silver, a great way to fight bacteria and viruses as well. Find that all at InfoWarsStore.com.
I just want listeners to understand, money is what allows us to beat this and stand against this. And we're seeing a lot of orders right now with the Save InfoWars 50% off, but we make only like $5, $10 on higher marked up stuff. We're making like $2 on the toothpaste at that price, and we're moving a ton of it, okay? But you move a couple $100,000 or something, and you get $20,000. That doesn't pay for all the infrastructure, the bandwidth, the lawyers, the crew. So we need to sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of product. I want to expand, not contract. And for 6 months, we've not just been at a standstill. Still, the enemy's been winning. And I have labored and labored and labored and labored on this. I like to be expanding. I like to be winning. I like to be fighting. And we are winning the info war. That's why we're so hated. But we need to be retreaded. We need to be tuned up. We need to be fixed up. We never have time to get into dry dock. We got a lot of holes shot at us. And the enemy wants to silence us. Then they're really going to plant child porn on us. Then they're going to kill me or you or anybody else. I mean, the Democrats now are going into a full revolutionary fervor funded by foreign banks and the Chi-Com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com.
Serving with InfoWars is a great honor, but I still need my morning coffee. And luckily, our break room at the InfoWars headquarters is stocked full of high-quality InfoWars store Patriot Blend coffee. Grown in the high mountains of southern Mexico, the Chiapas farmers grow 100% organic, non-GMO coffee at the ideal altitude for the perfect cup. A robust coffee with great flavor and mild acidity. There has never been a more important time to support InfoWars. So if you love coffee, and if you want to fight for freedom, then you can help. Order now at the InfoWars store. Sign up for AutoShip and get your own high-quality supply of Patriot Blend coffee delivered right to your door at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Today they begin IDing people, background checks for ammunition in California. First day they're doing that. We're going to talk about that coming up. We'll also talk about President Trump's visit to North Korea. We'll talk about how Facebook is becoming bank book. A lot of people now are saying what I said a couple of days before the announcement of Libra. I said what they're trying to do is set themselves up as the global central bank. And now you've got a lot of people saying, well, you know, this is kind of interesting. Look at this strategy. Maybe it's time for us to get away from the U.S. dollar. Maybe that's where they're positioning themselves and on and on. A lot of people are now starting to come around to what I said 2 days before it happened, actually. But we're going to get to all of that coming up in the next hour. Talk about what's happening at the border as well. But I've got one more thing to say about this battle for our children and the battle for not only our free speech, but the other part of the First Amendment, the free expression of our religion. That is being directly attacked by the Democrats. They came up with the Equality Act, of course, and the Equality Act is not going to pass. Yes, the Democrats have control of the House, and they passed it there. It's not going to get past the Senate until they get control of the Senate. And it's not going to be signed by a president until they get a Democrat in there. But when those two things happen, that's exactly what they plan to do. And if you don't know what the Equality Act is, the Equality Act essentially includes sexual identification and your chosen sexual activities. Not only your chosen sexual identification, but your chosen sexual activities. Those will be elevated to the level of biological attributes that you don't have any control over. Your race, your sex, that type of thing. So it'll be brought into the civil rights legislation and say you're not going to be able to discriminate against somebody because they identify as a particular gender. Even though in the past we said you can't discriminate against people based on their gender. Now we're going to say you can't discriminate on them based on this mental identification of a gender. But since that's not going to pass, the Democrats have another strategy. What they're going to do is they are going to try to change the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. That was put in 1993. It was signed by Bill Clinton. And it was set up to help to protect religious freedom because, you know, nobody pays any attention to the Constitution anymore. Constitution, if you haven't noticed, is a dead letter. So if you want some of those protections that were there in the First Amendment or there in the Second Amendment, you got to have a special bill to protect your right to keep and bear arms or to buy ammunition or to have a free exercise religion or free speech and so forth. You got to have a special new law put in because, you know, the Constitution is gone. Even though they still swear to it as a condition of taking office, they pay no attention to it. It is a dead letter. You better understand that. They don't think that anything in the Constitution applies, and that includes the Supreme Court. And so what this new bill would do, it would make the exercise of religion in the public life subservient to LGBT rights in all cases, as WND points out. And how has The Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 been used in the past? Well, it's been used to protect a Christian foster care program in South Carolina, for example, that provides homes to hundreds of kids. The Obama administration wanted to shut it down because it didn't adhere to a non-discrimination pro-LGBT policy. In other words, if you believe that there are two genders, if you believe that marriage is between those two genders, one of each, right? Marriage is between one man and one woman, then you are going to be excluded from society, polite society. And they also want to be able to reverse the Supreme Court's masterpiece cake shop decision. They want to be able to compel people to do that. And so you have a congressman saying, wait a minute, this isn't about forcing religious beliefs. This is about forcing people of faith to abandon their beliefs. He said, as a obstetrician, will I be forced to perform something I believe is wrong? Will I be forced to perform an abortion? Yes, you will. If the Democrats get in office, they've made that very clear.
It's not only that you have a unique voice in the public arena, in the public square. The other thing that's unique about InfoWars is it is the only network of this reach that is not backed by a corporate donor or corporate sugar daddy, that's not backed by some billionaire, that's not being funded by a secret foreign government. It is completely independent of all that. It is an old school American 1776 style experiment in the expression of the freedom of press and freedom of speech that, in fact, the founders were so concerned with at the beginning of the country, they actually tried to support and subsidize organizations just like this because this was the kind of press they wanted. And then ultimately, we now live in an era where they've mostly been co-opted by big corporations or billionaire sugar daddies who have been able to control and manipulate what news and views the person's allowed to have or express or hear. And the InfoWars audience has broken through that. They are the bridge from the founding to the modern age, ultimate American democracy and freedom. And that's why there's been an unprecedented onslaught of the platforming, defamation, lawfare, and libel targeting you.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to talk about what's going on in California as they enact a new method of gun control. Because, you know, we don't have any basic rights protected by the Constitution, by the Bill of Rights, they pretend. And that applies to the First Amendment as well. The Democrats in Congress were unable to get through the Equality Act, that they call it. And so now what they're trying to do is to eviscerate the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, which, again, as I point out, had to be passed because nobody cares about the First Amendment anymore. So we got to say, well, here's how we're going to, the little slice of the First Amendment that we're now going to allow you to have. But they're not satisfied with that. So they've got a bill, H.R. 1450. They call it the Do No Harm Act. It would allow LGBT activists to impose their religious, quote, views, habits, or practices, unquote, on Christians or people of other faiths, and they would do that by basically saying that your religious liberty is going to be taken away if somebody believes that it is insulting to a third party. If they don't like your free expression of religion, if they don't like your free speech, if it is a microaggression to them, if they hate it, they will call it hateful, and they will shut you down. That is the pattern where we're going. This is a story from WND. It states that the sexual orientation or gender identity protections trump constitutional protections for religious freedom. First of all, that's not what the Constitution says. Secondly, we're not going to tolerate that. We are not going to tolerate this. This is what the Democrats wish to impose upon us. But it is a tyranny of the worst sort. And it is the logical conclusion of political correctness. This is where this is all being headed from the get-go. We've now got comedians left and right, all these traditional British comedians, Rowan Atkinson, all the people from Monty Python are saying, you can't do comedy anymore. If somebody is insulted by comedy, they gag you. They, shut you down. You'll never work again. Or in England, you might get a fine or worse. And now they want to do that about discussions of politics and about discussions of religion. This is a full spectrum tyranny that is masking itself as protecting people's freedom, feelings. Do no harm. Do no harm is what they say. Well, I wish they would apply that to their medical pronouncements. I wish that was the guiding principle of the FDA. First, do no harm. I wish that was the guiding principle of the CDC that is trying to mandate vaccines on people. First, do no harm. And then secondly, why don't you show that your prescribed treatments or your mandates are effective? But first, show that they do no harm. That used to be part of the medical ethics. But now they're coming after this. And as I said, Phil Rowe, who's Republican from Tennessee, also an obstetrician, asked, will I be forced to perform an abortion? Yes, you will. They've made that very clear. That will be a part of their Medicare for all. They will pay for all everybody's health care, and they will define what it is. They will compel doctors and nurses to perform abortions, or they won't be doctors and nurses anymore. They will tell you what you're allowed to take, and they will force you to take things whether you like it or not. Because once they take over health care, they're going to be calling all the shots. And we can see this in California. Yeah, they're calling the shots. They're calling the shots off. California ammo sales spike just before new background checks for ammunition began today in California. The law goes into effect today. It's the first of its kind in the nation. But, you know, the interesting thing about this is that the Democrats are not satisfied with this. They've already introduced another 10 bills in California to go even farther. But let's talk about what is happening with this one. As one Sacramento ammunition store owner told Fox News, he said, in the last 2 weeks, my sales of ammunition have been up 300%. People have been bulking up because of these stupid new laws. And so these laws that were enacted in 2016 but are now going into effect today require one of two types of background check when buying any type of ammunition for a firearm. You could have a $1 standard ammunition eligibility check that gets added every time you buy ammunition for anyone who has legally purchased a handgun in the state since 1990 and whose California driver's license or ID matches the address used at the time. That takes about 2 to 3 minutes and $1. A more invasive and massive background check costs $19, and it's called the Basic Ammunition Eligibility Check. And that will take 10 days, 10 days and $19 before you can buy any ammunition. As one of the gun store owners in L.A. said, locking a door doesn't stop a thief from breaking in. So putting another restriction on ammunition is not going to stop a crazy person or a person with mental illness from getting ammunition or a firearm. And as I said, there's currently another 10 bills that are pending in the state legislature that would expand on this law. And so when I look at this law, you know, there's a question and answer that was put out by the California Rifle and Pistol Association and talking about these new regulations going into effect today in California. Can Californians purchase ammunition outside of the state and bring it back? No, you cannot. Oh, it's contraband. Contraband. Can't transport ammunition across state lines. And do you need a California driver's license? Yes, you do. And I guess the question I have is, since they love their undocumented people so much, they're foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing here. They don't want them to have any ID. And so I guess, they're trying to give them driver's licenses in New York and in California and so forth. They're going to let them vote, I understand. But, you know, a lot of these people don't bother with that. Even after Reagan gave amnesty to people who had come here illegally in 1986, you had about two-thirds of them didn't even bother. They didn't care. They don't care about our laws. They're not subject to our jurisdiction, which is why their children are not anchor babies. They're not American citizens. They're not subject to our jurisdiction in any way, shape, or form. They don't care about our laws. They don't need no stinking badges. They don't need no stinking driver's licenses. So what do? When you've got somebody who is an illegal alien and they want to buy some ammunition, I mean, are you going to be so racist that you demand that they get a driver's license? I mean, how does that work? Is it okay for these undocumented people to violate the law? It would be criminal, wouldn't it, according to Democrats, to force them to get some kind of ID It'd be criminal to force them to obey any kind of law. They're a special class above the rest of us. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. I'm sure that they'll make an exception for illegal aliens because they don't want anybody to have guns under any circumstances to defend themselves or anything else. Jimmy Carter, meanwhile, is saying that President Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. Well, you know, Carter didn't actually win re-election in 1980. He was skunked by Ronald Reagan. And, you know, I kind of find it that President Trump came back and said, hey, he was a terrible president. He said, he's a nice man, but he was a terrible president. And that's true. You know, Jimmy Carter is really a nice guy. He has done a lot to help with Habitat for Humanity, to help build homes for people who are homeless and so forth. It would have been good if he had never become president. Sometimes you got to know your limitations. And he didn't know his limitations when he became president. And evidently, he still doesn't. And I find it interesting that Jimmy Carter, who for most of my adult life was such a failed president, that the Democrats just disowned him. They didn't want him around politics whatsoever. I mean, they were happy to see him go out and do Habitat for Humanity and build homes, but please don't come to our conventions. We don't want you speaking at the political conventions and so forth. It was only after Obama started doing so poorly, after the Democrats lost over 1,000 Democrat offices throughout the country in the wake of Obama's presidency, that Jimmy Carter started to look good. And now when you compare him to the current crop of Democrat candidates, he's starting to look like Ronald Reagan in comparison. That's how bad these guys are. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
InfoWars and free speech. And your right to speech has been under unprecedented attack the last year or so. It's Orwellian. It's biblical. It's authoritarian. It's insane. And I keep trying to judge and gauge when is the right time to have to stumble up on deck as the captain of this operation and say, hey, we're sinking. I've begged for your support before and thanks for keeping us afloat, but this is the real SOS. If you don't buy a bunch of products and spread the word and keep fighting, InfoWars will be shut down, not just crippled. And so we've reached that point. It'll make the enemy happy, but you know, whatever. We have withstood so many of their attacks. We've gone through so much because of your support. You have been there. But let me tell you, they are pissed they haven't been successful, and they're giving us their full assault, so we need your prayers, your financial support, and your word of mouth now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's your fight. Decide whether or not you want InfoWars to continue, because we could be shut down.
In the 40 years that I've been in American politics, I've never seen a situation with the mainstream media in which facts and truth and evidence no longer matters. The false claim that you purposely sent kiddie porn to the Sandy Hook plaintiffs is ludicrous as well as false. It's a smear. Somebody sends you something that's encrypted. You don't even open it. It ends up swept up in the discovery of 9 million documents, and then it's blamed on you. This is Kafka. Esque. This is bizarre. But the way the mainstream media rushes out to say Jones sent kiddie porn is really outrageous. I have a lot of respect for those media outlets and those commentators who retracted and corrected and clarified. But I wonder, where are the big boys? Where's the Wall Street Journal? Where's Associated Press? When are they going to report that they made a mistake and what they said about you was inaccurate? So we both need your help, and I urge folks to continue to support InfoWars with your dollars.
I talk about this on the air, and I know it sinks into people, but I've decided that we're going to kind of reboot all our supplements, in that if you go back 5-6 years ago, before all the censorship and attacks and fake lawsuits, the rest of it, I would talk about how great the products are and how they were the best and why they were, and I'd have doctors on and experts to explain why they were so good. And instead, the last few years, I'm like, hey, we need to really support us, or they'll shut us down. The biggest thing people like to buy is supplements because they know how great they are and how wonderful they work. And the left always has headlines everywhere. Jones sells unapproved supplements that he claims are supplements. No, under federal law since 1996, you can't say that a supplement has been through the FDA because they have no jurisdiction and won't look at it. But then they say you've got to say it's not approved by them. And all drugs are is the system trying to tweak what's in Mother Nature and manipulate it and do different things. And a lot of drugs work great. They have side effects, not with Mother Nature. But Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about God's medicine chest. InfoWarsStore.com. Or 888-253-3139.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Viewers and listeners, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And we're under unprecedented evil attacks, as you've seen. But I wanted to take just a minute out here from the bottom of my heart to tell you how much it means to me that when you saw all those lies against us last week, the worst things you can say about people, that you knew they were liars. You went and looked it up and found out the truth. And so I feel very strong, and I feel God's hand on my shoulder, and I feel your love in my heart. And I want you to know that love is right back at you. And I want to thank you for all you've done with your word of mouth and your prayers and your financial support. Because I'm committed to fight to the end, but I want to win. And without you, I'm going to be destroyed, and it's not going to be fun. But that's not what's important. The enemy could win. We're a key chess piece in this fight. We're being used by God. You're being used by God. This is providence. So I salute you, and I thank you for all you've done from the bottom of my heart.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, I think that's going to be the new theme song for Mayor Buttigieg. We need to call him Mayor Pee-wee. And he is on a roll. He raised $24.8 million in this last quarter, tripling what he'd made in the previous quarter. He's doing Boffo box office. He's doing much better than Pee-wee's Big Adventure. $24.8 million in just one quarter. But can he make it past opening night? Does he have legs? We will see. Well, hopefully we won't see, literally. But the left is talking about how even people on CNN and ABC are talking about how extreme the debates were this last week. On a CNN panel, David Urban suggested that in the two debates this week, they were trying to out-left each other. And boy, did that strike a raw nerve with his fellow CNN hosts, who are rabidly partisan, as you may have noticed. I want to play that clip for you. Let's roll video clip number one. You guys got that?
She's done it. So cleaning up that kind of mess is going to be important.
So I will just say this. As long as we saw the same tone and tenor in those debates where everybody's trying to out-left each other, right? You heard Mike Shields here on earlier today saying, like, the middle America, they listen to this stuff and they're rolling their eyes going, what are you people talking about? Like, this Democratic field cannot get further to the left of one another. And as long as that occurs, there's nobody up there that's going to beat Donald Trump. I promise you that.
I just think we have this
erroneous idea.
This erroneous idea that some of these policies that are being perceived or portrayed in the media as super lefty are actually enjoying really widespread. So 50%
Listen, you're talking about eliminating insurance.
Medicare.
So, hold on. Let's just be very factual.
50% of Republicans are in favor of Medicare for all.
That got them really upset. You can hear them talking over each other.
Let's have open borders. Nobody said that.
First of all, when we talk about Medicare for all, there's a role for supplemental insurance.
And not according to most of those candidates up there.
There are only two people who raised their hands who actually believe that.
They're very clear they want to outlaw private insurance.
To go back and clean that up were Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. But the overwhelming majority of people want to have Medicare with some type of private insurance supplemental. Nobody's getting rid of that.
Second, the overwhelming majority.
That is a crazy right-wing talking.
It's not a crazy
when Castro talks about that, all you're doing is those people still have to be adjudicated. You're just going through a civil process, and you still get to be adjudicated. And criminals, there are still crimes on the books to deal with those things.
Open borders would mean dismantling the security apparatus we currently have.
There's a lot of
calling for that. Can I ask you, Barry?
All right, so you get the idea.
He dropped a truth bomb on the Democrats there. Again, that was David Urban. He is a lobbyist. And he said, look, they've completely left the American people trying to out-left each other. And that's absolutely true. He says they're talking about open borders. They're talking about ending all private health care, on and on and on. And that's just, he didn't even mention some of the other aspects of that. But then it's not just that one individual on CNN, but it's also George Stephanopoulos yesterday talking to Julian Castro. And folks, Julian Castro is a good example of somebody, as I pointed out after the first debate, trying to out-left everybody else, right? As he's talking about abortion, it's not enough to have abortion at any point in pregnancy, okay? Abortion on demand, that's everybody's position. Everybody wants abortion right up to and a bit beyond birth, right? That's what we have seen with the governor of Virginia and others, and Elizabeth Warren and all the rest of Democrat candidates embraced that. And then they started embracing the fact that there is no right to choose, right? That's what they call it, right to choose, even though they don't offer you a right to make any choice about anything else in your life or your child's life. They still support supposedly this right to choose an abortion. But there is no right to choose unless you can compel other people to pay for it and compel other people to perform it. They're going to hold a gun to the head of doctors and nurses and say, I'm sorry, you don't get to opt out of doing this. You're going to not be a doctor or a nurse anymore if you don't do this. This is part of the Medicare for All. And they want to make sure that every private insurance, if there is such a thing left under them, they would rather that not happen. But if you do wind up with any private insurance, they want to make sure that they compel everybody to pay for abortion on demand. There isn't a right to abortion if you don't get it paid for by somebody else, even somebody else who thinks that it's immoral. So Julian Castro had to go a little bit further. He had to tout not only abortion at any time for any reason or no reason at all, to compel people to do it, to compel people to pay for it, but also to provide it to trans females, in other words, biological males who cannot get pregnant. And then George Stephanopoulos challenged him over his immigration proposals. It's not just David Urban who is saying that you guys trying to out-left each other, you have gone full open borders. Stephanopoulos said that to Julian Castro. Here's that exchange, video two.
The question is at what cost, though? And when you add up all the proposals you're calling for right now, decriminalization of crossing the border, no deportation, absent other crimes, the offer of health benefits, also a possible path to citizenship. I know you reject the rhetoric about open borders, but isn't that effectively open borders, not limiting how our immigration in any real way?
I would challenge you there, George, on a couple of things. Number one, there's no way that we can call that open borders because we have 654 miles of fencing. We have thousands of personnel at the border.
We have planes,
we have helicopters, boats, security cameras, guns.
That we're not using.
By no stretch of the
imagination,
open borders.
That we're not using.
And then, you know, secondly, there is still a civil court process. There are still people who are being deported. There are people applying for asylum that do not receive or not granted asylum. So open borders is just a right-wing talking point. It always has been. And I'll say, it doesn't matter what Democrats do on this issue. President Trump and Republicans are always going to say the Democrats are for open borders. I have a completely different vision, a better, stronger vision of how we can be more
No enforcement for any laws at the border, according to these people. And they've gone further than that, quite frankly. You know, George Stephanopoulos was going easy on it because we got the Democrat Party and activists who are now talking about how they want to dox and shame Border Patrol agents and ICE personnel simply because they're trying to enforce the law. While the people who thumb their nose at our law and even at our judicial system, again, they came after President Trump and his administration because he said, look, if people come across here illegally, they have their court hearing and the judge tells them, you've got to go back to your country. You're being deported. They still refuse to do that. That's two times just with immigration laws that they've done that.
And when the Democrats are out there saying, we've got to decriminalize this, they are now tacitly admitting that it is a crime to come across the border. There are laws that are being violated. But, of course, they want to treat Border Patrol and ICE as criminals. They openly say this all the time. They are the criminals. The foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing are not. We need to honor them. We need to revere them. We need to punish, shame, and attack, physically attack, ICE and Border Patrol. This is what the Democrats are telling you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
So the InfoWars model is a self-fulfilling, self-supporting structure that is promoting free press and free speech by people getting together and supporting one another and sustaining one another. It is the only independent press of this size and scale, of this public reach. It is the one model that says, here's a way to have a self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-structured, little d-democratic structure that because the audience determines what content goes up, the audience determines what audience is ultimately reached by their choices in supporting InfoWars. And it's all because the audience spends their whatever it is, whether it's $5 or $50 a month on products that they like and that they want that actually compete with the corporate-driven model. And the ability to do that and at the same time support press, support speech, support letting the audience choose what news they want to see and what views they want to hold. And it's the ultimate American democratic expression and experiment. And it is the celebration of free press and free speech with free markets.
Robert Barnes, what has big tech become?
Big tech are big babies that have become big bullies. And the way they did so is because they faced no consequence, social, economic, political, or legal, for their illicit activities over two decades. And because of that, that's why the courts, the judges, the juries, the members of the independent free press that care about this, the ordinary members of the public and the audience that care about this, have to bring real social, political, economic consequence to their course of conduct. Otherwise, they will never change. And they will become the big tech oligarchs, the equivalent to the big trust of the 19th century, who ran American politics and ran America. Economy almost into the ground until we were able to recover after the Great Depression. The InfoWars audience is the fuel that flames the light of liberty across the world to make real the actions of independent free speech, to make real the original promise of an independent free press. Real collusion is big tech and big media manipulating and working with each other to try to meddle with elections, to try to shape people's thoughts.
And then the whopper of telling us the whole time it's not happening.
It's the ultimate form of gaslighting. What you just saw isn't what you just saw, even it is what you just saw.
It's not only that you have a unique voice in the public arena and the public square. The other thing that's unique about InfoWars is it is the only network of this reach that is not backed by a corporate donor or corporate sugar daddy, that's not backed by some billionaire, that's not being funded by a secret foreign government. It is completely independent of all that. It is an old school American 1776 style experiment in the expression of the freedom of press and freedom of speech that, in fact, the founders were so concerned with at the beginning of the country, they actually tried to support and subsidize organizations just like this because this was the kind of press they wanted. And then ultimately we now live in an era where they've mostly been co-opted by big corporations or billionaire sugar daddies who've been able to control and manipulate what news and views the person's allowed to have or express or hear. And the InfoWars audience has broken through that. They are the bridge from the founding to the modern age, ultimate American democracy and freedom. And that's why there's been an unprecedented onslaught of deplatforming, defamation, lawfare, and libel targeting you.
Clown World, InfoWars.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's already being printed. Your new ultra limited edition Clown World t-shirt will be shipped out to you. And on the back, like a concert t-shirt, Clown World 2020, Cory Booker and all the rest of the usual suspects. We're going to have live coverage and there's only 5,000 of these being printed and that's it. And it funds the operation. It's a clown world and we're just living in it. Celebrate the circus that is Democratic debate. This exclusive limited time Clown World shirt, $19.95, really soft, nice, high quality fabric, whole nine yards for everybody, no reviews yet, and yes, we're running store-wide free shipping, 50% off of the supplements and double Patriot points, and that's how we fund this operation. Thanks to you, the amazing audience, and this amazing crew, and everybody else, we will prevail. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Please support us today. These sales are big.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Broadcasting with
the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, the Democrats have gone open about being open border, although, you know, we still have their apologists in the media. And Julian Castro says, oh, no, I'm not open border. I just want to stop all law enforcement. I want to shut down all laws that criminalize coming across the border. I want to turn Border Patrol, we'll keep them around, but we'll turn them into nannies. You know, kind of like the Toy Story, what was it, Toy Story 2? Starts out, you got Buzz Lightyear with a tea party wearing a... A Mrs. Ned Tea Party, that's what they're going to do, the Border Patrol. They're not going to be Buzz Lightyear anymore. They're going to be Mrs. Nesbitt's Tea Party there. But they have also gone openly Marxist. You know, they avoided for so long the term socialism because people understood what socialism was about, used to. But now they have been indoctrinated in the schools so long on socialism and its virtues that they are no longer ashamed of it. And they don't see it, at least that generation, as a pejorative term. And now you've got occasional Cortex, Alexandria in Wonderland, going down on full-blown classic Marxism, talking about classism, classism. Again, remember when we've talked about this in the past, I said that Bill Ayers and people of his ilk, the Weather Underground, popularized the idea of white skin privilege. Why did they do that? Because their traditional Marxism based on class warfare wasn't working in the United States. And so they correctly perceived that the way that they could divide people was not along class lines that were very well defined and entrenched in Europe. But here in America, they could divide people along racial lines. So they began starting out talking about this white skin privilege. That's the term back in the 1970s. Now we just call it white privilege, and it is taught in all the universities. Why? Because Bill Ayers stopped bombing federal buildings, and he decided that he would go bomb education, starting through the federal agencies. You know, when you've got all the educational establishment in a pyramid structure with one control point up at the top, it's very easy to destroy it. And that's basically what he's been doing. He and people like him, friends of Obama out of Chicago and so forth. And so they've taken over education. They've turned these people into Marxists, and they really have embraced this. And so occasional Cortex was asked last week in an interview by Jake Tapper, he said, and we've all seen the theatrics, right? You know, the $600 watch and the moaning and wailing at the wall when there's nobody on the other side of the wall except an empty parking lot and a couple of officers with a couple of police cars. You've seen the other picture, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, or the rest of the picture. And you can see her theatrics. You can see photographers that are kneeling down in front of her to get the better picture of the staged presentation that she put on for everybody, the theatrics out there. And somebody pulled back and got a picture of that photo opportunity that they were setting up there. And then Jake Tapper, as she continues to sell this idea that they're concentration camps, and everybody knows that these things were started and funded and operated under the Obama administration as well. Where were you during the Obama administration? Why weren't you complaining about this stuff? And she says, well, I was like working in a restaurant at the time. And so people laughed about that. And as I said last week, so she draws on her rich experience, her life experience, her rich work experience to tell us. There she is with that face. I don't know. She's, as I say, politics is for people who can't act, you know, I guess. Actually, they said it's Hollywood for ugly people. I wouldn't call her ugly, but I would say that she's not up to the acting standards of Hollywood, so she has to go to Washington to do that, because she did a very poor job of acting at the border in spite of all the makeup and everything else. But she's there, she is pouting at the chain link fence, that stage photo op. But after she said, oh, I was working in a restaurant, and people laughed about that, as I did, saying, yeah, that's her experience. This is the person who wants to run our lives. This is a person who wants to reorganize society with a Green New Deal and so forth. She has no life experience. She obviously has no education. She has nothing to contribute, no accomplishments. And yet she wants to rule over all of us. And why not? Why not? Yeah, I can tell you why not. But she now has pushed back, and she says, you criticize me because the only experience I've had is working in a restaurant. She says, I'm proud of my work in restaurants. She said, working people that GOP dismisses just a waitress or a cook, etc., contain multitudes and are just as capable and intelligent as anyone. I agree, but I don't think they want you as their representative. And then she goes on to say, classism, judging someone's character by their income, is disappointing to see from them. What is so appalling to the GOP about having an honest job? So if you dismiss the fact that she has absolutely no experience, no education, no life accomplishments that would put her in the position to be somebody who is crafting policy, who is reorganizing our economy. No, the only thing that she's got is identity politics. You should vote for her simply because she was a waitress, simply because she's Puerto Rican, or because she's a woman, or because she's young. That's her accomplishments. And she's not always going to be young. What's she going to do for a follow-up with that? But that is full-blown Marxism, and now they're going to go start calling, they're going to go beyond the white privilege, dividing people along race lines. Now she wants to divide people along economic lines because she is a Marxist. But of course, don't look too hard at her past, or you'll find out that she really wasn't one of the working class. She came from a very wealthy family. She was getting subsidies and bragging about how she was a Puerto Rican entrepreneur and so forth. And she was getting subsidies for her small business, which subsequently failed in spite of the subsidies, which is why she's not qualified to lecture us about science, about economics, about history or politics or anything else. Biden, in the meantime, has now seen immediately after the debates last week, he saw his poll numbers slip by 10 points. It went from 41.5% to 31.5%. Kamala Harris, in turn, picked up almost all of that. She got a 9-point bump. She went from 7.9% to 16.6%. And so she more than doubled her position there, but she's still trailing Joe Biden by a significant amount. All the rest of the candidates only had a marginal increase or decrease. Nobody else was really affected by that. But, of course, she took on Joe Biden. And Willie Brown has something to say about that. Her mentor, remember Willie Brown, her mentor, as I talked about last week, you know, the guy who gave her in today's money, you know, it was like 20, 25 years ago. And, of course, the government is constantly devaluing the currency. But if you put it in today's currency, she got $150,000 a month because he appointed her to a board that met two times a month. I'm assuming that she had some other services that she was providing to Willie on the side. But Willie took to the San Francisco Chronicle on Saturday and said, bad news for the Democrats. None of these candidates can beat Trump, including his former associate, mistress, Kamala Harris. He said, the first Democratic debates proved one thing. We still don't have a candidate who can beat Donald Trump. Senator Kamala Harris got all the attention for playing prosecutor in chief, but her case against former Vice President Joe Biden boiled down in some ways to a ringing call for forced school busing. It won't be too hard for Trump to knock that one out of the park in 2020. Trump must have enjoyed every moment and every answer because he now knows that he's looking at a bunch of potential rivals who are still not ready for prime time. That was Willie Brown, the guy who is the former corrupt head of California's legislature. And as he got into problems, his former protege that he had groomed for higher office, among other things, had said, I don't have any loyalty to him. If he did anything, I'm sending him to jail because that's kind of the way she operates. And she stabbed that knife in the back of Joe Biden. Not to say that both of them didn't deserve it, but she's not going to show any loyalty to anybody, even the guy who put her there. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I just want listeners to understand, money is what allows us to beat this and stand against this. And we're seeing a lot of orders right now with the Save InfoWars 50% off, but we make only like $5, $10 on higher marked up stuff. We're making like $2 on the toothpaste at that price. And we're moving a ton of it, okay? But you move a couple $100,000 or something and you get $20,000. That doesn't pay for all the infrastructure, the bandwidth, the lawyers, the crew. So we need to sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of product. I want to expand, not contract. And for 6 months, we've not just been able to stand still. The enemy's been winning. And I have labored and labored and labored and labored on this. I like to be expanding. I like to be winning. I like to be fighting. And we are winning the info war. That's why we're so hated. But we need to be retreaded. We need to be tuned up. We need to be fixed up. We never have time to get into dry dock. We got a lot of holes shot at us. And the enemy wants to silence us. Then they're really going to plant child porn on us. Then they're going to kill me or you or anybody else. I mean, the Democrats now are going into a full revolutionary fervor funded by foreign banks and the Chi-Com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. Let's talk to Marcus in New York. Marcus, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I just want to say, your show is a breath of fresh air. I talk to a lot of people here out in New York City, and one thing I can tell you is that almost nobody agrees with these wars. I think that the neocons are trying desperately to get Trump to go to a war because they know that that's the only way that they could defeat him in the eyes of the public, the approaching 2020.
That's it. I mean, if Trump buys into this, it'll be the end of his presidency. It's the only way I think he can be defeated other than assassinating him. It's a time to be praying, my friend.
I agree entirely. And the last thing I just want to say, Alex, is I know they're trying to shut you down, but the reinforcements have arrived, man. I would love to see you on air until you're 80 years old. I would love to see what you're talking about when you're 80. But if they do shut you down, know you've gone into this war. You've won a lot of battles, and there are a lot of people like myself and many others who are going to continue. We're going to keep fighting in the info war, and even if something does happen to you or your show, know for a fact that you've gotten a lot of people fired up for liberty.
Thank you, sir, for calling. Briefly, folks, please do not forget, this is the Maximum Alert. We wouldn't be here without you. I thank you for your support and your help. We're going to be steadfast in this fight, but we need financial support, and we're going to put up more prominent donate buttons at InfoWarsStore.com. If you want to just give us straight donations, there's a P.O. box. If you want to mail us a check, we will put it into the fight against these globalists. We need money to fight back and to let them know we're taking action and to defend ourselves. InfoWarsStore.com is the main page. We have a huge sale going. Save InfoWars, super special, emergency special, 50% off. All InfoWars best-selling live products, all of them, 50% off. That's Supermel Vitality, Survival Shield X2, now back in stock. Rainforce Plus, Turbo Force, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, so many more. Stock up on the toothpaste, the coffee. Sign up for AutoShip and an additional 10% off. And I forgot, double Patriot points. Instead of 5% off on future orders, you get 10% off. And again, cancel AutoShip anytime for free. We need the funding. Thank you for your support. We're getting a lot of support right now, but we need a lot to go into this dark night. We're not going to back down. I want to be very, very clear with everybody about all of this. We're going into the season of war, and they have been inches from shutting down the final bank accounts we have due to their criminal activity and their digital fraud. And we need to know that we've got capital to go 6 months, a year. We need to end here. We need to be provisioned. And you've got my total commitment that I am going to rampage forward against the enemy fearlessly. I'm loving every minute of this because I know I'm getting under their skin. I'm bloodying them up politically. I'm banging heads with them, and they can't help but attack back with lies, and that just brings more people here. So I'm in one hell of a fight, and so are you, and I need war bonds, I need gas, I need ammo politically now. But literally, if you flood us with money, and if you flood us with product purchases, and if you flood us with your word of mouth, you're unstoppable, we're unstoppable together. I want to send a strong message to the enemy. I want to raise a couple $1 million right now to let the enemy know that their attacks are failing, and that you will stand with us, and I will never back down. You have my commitment. This only gives me more energy and more understanding of what we're facing and that we were right about this.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, folks. Before I get back to the news, take a look at some of these other Democrat candidates, and we're also going to take a look at what's going on with the border. We're going to take a look at President Trump in North Korea, as well as Facebook becoming bank book, and something else, too, that is coming on all of us, in case you haven't noticed. It is smart poverty, I guess we could call it.
2030. It is rapidly approaching. Yeah, they're coming after your homes. They're coming after your cars in a variety of ways. And, of course, they're going to lock you down and monitor your every movement and impose a social credit score on you. But we got more evidence of how rapidly that is being applied and how many different areas that is being applied as well. Before we get back to the news, however, I just want to remind you of the emergency sale that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. You've always been very good to stand by us. Our victory in stopping Hillary Clinton from getting the presidency was every bit as much your victory as it was anything that we do here, because we couldn't do this without you. You are our only sponsor, our most important sponsor. The products that we sell directly at InfoWarsStore.com is what funds this program and everything that we do here at InfoWars. Without your support, we would not be here, and we don't have any way to reach people with ads. We've been shut down by Google. We've been shut down by social media. We are fighting the largest corporations the world has ever seen, all colluding together to shut us down, and it's absolutely astounding to see no help coming from Washington. Not surprising, just astounding, because the same structure has to do with their own political survival as well. But evidently, I guess they feel like they can finesse this and survive this kind of political attack. I don't think that they can. But that brings us back to free speech and independent media and your free speech. And that's what we're trying to stand for here. We've tried to make this so that it's a win-win situation. We have, in this emergency sale, we have applied free shipping store-wide as well as 50% off all the InfoWars products. That's all the vitamins, minerals, supplements, as well as things like toothpaste. As I pointed out, our Super Blue Silver toothpaste, it's got the good halogen, iodine. It doesn't have the bad halogen, fluoride. It also has nano silver, very effective at fighting both bacteria and virus. You can get that as part of the 50% off sale as well and free shipping. And double Patriot points store-wide. Take a look at the products that we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support, and we really do need it at this time. As I was saying earlier in the broadcast, we now had today the first day in California where you're going to have to get a background check and pay a special processing fee for that background check to buy ammunition. If you've bought a gun in California in the last 25 years or so, then you only have to pay a dollar and wait an extra 2 to 3 minutes, they say, in order to buy ammunition. But, of course, if you don't qualify for that, you are going to have to produce all kinds of ID, have a 10-day waiting period to buy ammunition, and pay another $19 over the price of ammunition. See, this is death by regulation by a thousand cuts. The Democrats under Obama realized that the most effective way they could confiscate our guns was not by doing the idiotic moves that Eric Swalwell is doing. Of course, you know, coming from California, he's a congressman from California. You saw him in the Democratic debates last Thursday night. He was in debate number two, and that has become his signature issue. Going to war with the American people to take away our constitutionally protected, God-given right. We don't get it from the Constitution. The Constitution said to the government, you're not going to prohibit this. Especially military weapons. He's now made that his core issue, his core qualification to run for president, that he wants to confiscate all assault weapons. And of course, he's now, and all the other Democrats are now starting to refer to assault weapons as military weapons. Understand that when the Second Amendment is talking about it, it says, well, we need to have a well-regulated, well-trained, in other words, it doesn't mean that you want a lot of laws on us. Well-regulated meant well-trained. They want a well-trained militia, not a permanent standing army. The founders are very clear about that. They didn't want a permanent standing army dressed in khaki green or in police blue. And that's quite frankly what we've got. The number of police officers that we have in this country is more than the military of anybody else except for the U.S. military. And so we do have a standing army here. And we do have an army that, in addition, we got a domestic army that Obama was working very hard to try to militarize, sending them MRAPs that they didn't want, didn't need, actually taking equipment away from rural firefighting departments that needed that equipment, that army surplus equipment, to be the first responders on the front lines of these massive public lands that the government has retained control of, even though they don't have any constitutional authority for that. That should have been turned over to private citizens when those areas became states. But nevertheless, they've hung on to those areas that should have been turned over to the state government, should have been turned over to private individuals when it became a state. They hang on to that, and to help the local rural firefighters to fight the big blazes that can happen in these large areas, they gave them surplus equipment. And as Obama was giving these mine-resistant personnel carriers, armored personnel carriers, to police departments, and everybody was asking, what in the world are you doing this for? You're giving this to, you know, Andy Griffith and Barney Fife and Mayberry? They don't need that. Even a lot of the police departments were saying, we don't need this. And they weren't giving them to them. They were positioning them with these police departments and telling the police departments, oh, by the way, you don't own that. That remains a property of the Pentagon, the federal government, but you are going to have to maintain these things. You talk about a white elephant. That's what it was. That's why a lot of these departments sent it back. But at the same time they were doing that, they said, well, we're going to stop this decades old. They've been doing it since World War II. This decades old program of giving rural firefighting departments this surplus equipment. So they've been working very hard to militarize the police. And now they want to pretend that if it is a military weapon, you shouldn't have it as an American citizen, even though that was expressly the point. They didn't say that you needed to have guns in order to protect yourself from criminals, to defend yourself from attacks or from terrorists or whatever, because the police can't always be there. That was understood. They didn't say that you needed to have guns because you wanted to be able to hunt. That was understood. They said, no, we want to have a kind of a citizen militia, you know, kind of like that, what they've got in Switzerland. And we want them to be very well trained. And now Eric Swalwell wants to take all those assault weapons. But under the Democrats, there you go, come and take it. What is that a picture of? Oh, yeah, that's a picture of a cannon. That's that famous flag in Texas telling Santa Ana, you want to come and take it? Well, we've got a cannon for you. And we've got the business end of it pointed at you. Same thing happened at Concord and Lexington. They also came for the cannons there and the state-of-the-art military weapons. And it was a militia who fought the British in that position. But they've understood that ammunition is the key. If you are banned or prevented because of high taxes, and think about this, if every time you buy ammunition, you got to pay $19, forget the waiting period, for example, of 10 days. Just add $19 to the price of already expensive ammunition. They started doing this in the Obama administration. They first enacted a program to stop the recycling of spent brass. When the military would fire their weapons, they would take the spent brass and they would recycle it and let American manufacturers reload that into ammunition, and they said no more. Even to the extent that they said we're going to crush that spent brass into, you know, we're going to crush it so that it's no longer shaped into a shell. It has less value. We're going to sell it for less money, and we're going to sell it to the Chinese as scrap rather than letting Americans get that reloaded and resold into the marketplace. So they've been looking at every different tactic to make ammunition unaffordable, unaccessible by the American public. Because if you don't have ammunition, they don't have to confiscate your guns, because your guns are nothing but clubs. That's okay. We'll fight like Davy Crockett when he ran out of ammunition. So you got Eric Swalwell saying, keep your pistols, keep your rifles, keep your shotguns, but we can take the most dangerous weapons from the most dangerous people. Yeah. In other words, you know, pistols are not military. The rifles are not military. The shotguns are not military. We saw this in the Miller case in the 1930s when the National Firearms Act was first being challenged. That was a guy who was robbing banks with a sawed-off shotgun, so they picked that case. The guy even died before it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court continued with the case even though the guy was dead, and there was nobody arguing his side of it because they wanted to establish their unconstitutional control over our firearms. And they knew at that time that shotguns were a military weapon. They'd been used in World War I, they'd been used in the Civil War. And now Eric Swalwell is saying, we've got to ban the sale and distribution of assault weapons because they're weapons of the military. They're all weapons of the military. And you are violating the Constitution you swore to uphold.
InfoWars and free speech and your right to speech has been under unprecedented attack the last year or so. It's Orwellian. It's biblical. It's authoritarian. It's insane. And I keep trying to judge and gauge when is the right time to have to stumble up on deck as the captain of this operation and say, hey, we're sinking. I've begged for your support before, and thanks for keeping us afloat, but this is the real SOS. If you don't buy a bunch of products and spread the word and keep fighting, InfoWars will be shut down, not just crippled. And so we've reached that point. It'll make the enemy happy, but, you know, whatever. We have withstood so many of their attacks. We've gone through so much because of your support. You have been there. But let me tell you, they are pissed they haven't been successful, and they're giving us their full assault, so we need your prayers, your financial support, and your word of mouth now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's your fight. Decide whether or not you want InfoWars to continue, because we could be shut down. I talk about this on the air, and I know it sinks into people, but I've decided that we're going to kind of reboot all our supplements, and that if you go back 5-6 years ago, before all the censorship and attacks and fake lawsuits, the rest of it, I would talk about how great the products are and how they were the best and why they were, and I'd have doctors on and experts to explain why they were so good. And instead, the last few years, I'm like, hey, we need to really support us, or they'll shut us down. The biggest thing people like to buy is supplements because they know how great they are and how wonderful they were. And the left always has headlines everywhere. Jones sells unapproved supplements that he claims or supplements. No, under federal law since 1996, you can't say that a supplement has been through the FDA because they have no jurisdiction and won't look at it. But then they say you've got to say it's not approved by them. And all drugs are is the system trying to tweak what's in Mother Nature and manipulate it and do different things. And a lot of drugs work great. They have side effects, not with Mother Nature. But Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about God's medicine chest. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Decoding the mainstream propaganda. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Just a little bit more of the fallout after the first circus show that we had, the Democrat debate this last week. Kamala Harris raised $2 million in 24 hours after the debate, and as I reported earlier, she got 10 points, got up to 17% in the polls, and Joe Biden lost 10 points, went from 41.5 to 31.5 in the polls. Everybody else pretty much stayed where they were. Marianne Williamson, I guess, is still at zero. It's absolutely amazing to me to see that you've got people like Mike Gravel, who I thought had some pretty good takes on the rest of the candidates. This is a guy who was a senator. As a senator, he read the Pentagon Papers into the record under threat of going to jail and also being kicked out of the Senate. So he's exhibited courage on some important issues. And he's also got a lot of experience. Yes, he is very old, but he had some very witty takedowns of the other people. And, of course, you know, their measure was getting 65,000 people to contribute at least a dollar to get into the debates. They didn't really care where you were on the poll. So you had a lot of these people that were in the debate because they got, 65,000 $1 contributions. And some of them were actually... In good old Democrat Party tradition, pork barrel politics is like, you give me a dollar so that I can count this towards getting in the debate, and I'll contribute $2 to your favorite charity. How about that? Because they've got some big money financial backers buying them in, but they needed to get those 65,000 $1 contributions. So you had a lot of people in there, like Marianne Williamson, the author, and... Because she is talking about how she wants to harness love, and she's going to use love to drive President Trump out of the Oval Office. You got a lot of people saying, hey, let's give her a dollar, make sure she stays in the debates for the next round, because she's going to be very effective for the Republicans. One of the things that she had to say, and this person, Drudge had this up for the last several days. This is from a op-ed piece from The Spectator. This person said, Marianne Williamson put a spell on me. They just loved what she had to say.
This man has and this is what she had to say that they love so much. Talking about President Trump, she said, this man has reached into the psyche of the American people and harnessed fear. You have harnessed fear for political purposes, and only love can cast that out. I'm going to harness love for political purposes. I will meet you on that field, and sir, love will win. She's going to love him out of office. And so, yeah, let's give her another dollar to get into the debates because, you know, we just can't have enough psychics in there and Obama book club authors in the debates. But, of course, Tulsi Gabbard was the only person there that had anything to say. And as I said, what she had to say and the support that she got from President Trump's supporters, as you can see on the Drudge poll, overwhelmingly winning the Drudge poll. I think she was four times the number two, Elizabeth Warren, on that first debate night. She was 10 times in terms of the Drudge poll what Julian Castro had gotten. And yet all the media was talking about Julian Castro and Elizabeth Warren and so forth. But it was Tulsi Gabbard that captured the imagination of Trump's voters because Tulsi Gabbard was saying what President Trump said 4 years ago. And the message is not, I think, that Tulsi Gabbard is the candidate, because quite frankly, if you look at the rest of her policies, Medicare for all, you know, the government running health care, open borders, gun control, unrestricted abortion, paid for by the government, I can't sign on to that for any of these people. And yet, President Trump needs to pay attention to the fact that she struck a nerve with his supporters. And she's continuing to talk about that. She went on the Hill on Saturday and talked about how Saudi Arabia is not a true ally of the United States. They are not battling terrorism. Quite frankly, they are the terrorists. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In the 40 years that I've been in American politics, I've never seen a situation with the mainstream media in which facts and truth and evidence no longer matters. The false claim that you purposely sent kitty porn to the Sandy Hook plaintiffs is ludicrous as well as false. It's a smear. Somebody sends you something that's encrypted. You don't even open it. It ends up swept up in the discovery of 9 million documents, and then it's blamed on you. This is Kafka. This is bizarre. But the way the mainstream media rushes out to say Jones sent kitty porn is really outrageous. I have a lot of respect for those media outlets and those commentators who retracted and corrected and clarified. But I wonder, where are the big boys? Where's the Wall Street Journal? Where's Associated Press? When are they going to report that they made a mistake and what they said about you was inaccurate? So we both need your help, and I urge folks to continue to support InfoWars with your dollars.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. President Trump went to North Korea, the first time an American president has ever done that. North Korea didn't exist before the Korean War that drug on into a stalemate. Of course, it never ended officially. Officially, we're still at a state of war with Korea. That was our first police action using our military in an undeclared war. Well, yeah, we're going to do a police job, and it ended in a stalemate. The rest of them have not ended even that well. But President Trump went to the Korean demilitarized zone, and accompanying him was Tucker Carlson. Well, that's kind of interesting, but it was also interesting who was not there. Bolton was not there. And so the question is, where's Walrus? Waldo, right? Well, Waldo, or Walrus, was literally sent to Outer Mongolia. I'm not kidding. I mean... This is like a joke. The walrus was banned to Outer Mongolia when President Trump is there in North Korea. Because why? He wanted to get something done. And you're not going to get anything done with that guy hanging around your neck like an albatross. Why is he even in the cabinet? Everybody said this when President Trump was considering him. We all said, be one of the worst moves you could make. Said that about Rex Tillerson. Said that about Gary Cohen of Goldman Sachs.
Said that about H.R. McMaster. Said that about all these people that President Trump has fought with. The people who have fought him on his agenda that he has ultimately fired. Why did you hire them in the first place? I don't trust the plan because I don't think he's got a plan. I don't think he even vets the people he puts in his cabinet. But since Bolton was boldly going where nobody in his position had ever gone before, trying to start wars with Iran, because the president wanted to try to get something done in North Korea, he had to send the walrus to Outer Mongolia. John Bolton tweeted out, "I'm delighted to be in Ulaanbaatar." It's like, where is that? And then you read down another line, "Looking forward to meeting with officials to find ways to harness Mongolia's capabilities in support of our shared economies and security objectives." Are you kidding me? What shared economic and security objectives do we have with Mongolia? We need them to support NATO or something? How ridiculous is this? And of course, you know, the giant economy of Mongolia is absolutely essential to put America first and to rebuild our infrastructure, right? That's why John Bolton is there, because of our shared economic and security objectives with Mongolia. Important work he's got going on right there in Outer Mongolia. But then we go to Tucker Carlson, who is kind of interesting. Tucker Carlson, a Fox News host, accompanied President Trump, and he was in the place of John Bolton. Now, I agree with this. I'd love to see President Trump have Tucker Carlson join his cabinet, if that could get America first again. He was there with President Trump. They said as he was touring the area, however, he made a couple of strange statements as people were talking to him. It was made very clear a week or so ago. We had senior White House officials talking about the fact that the president was listening to Tucker Carlson. I think that's great. I agree with Tucker Carlson on virtually everything. As a matter of fact, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything I disagree with Tucker Carlson on, really. Kind of like Rand Paul. I'm glad he's listening to people like them instead of listening to people like John Bolton and Lindsey Graham. But he did make some controversial statements. And this may be taken out of context. I haven't seen the full thing, but I'll just tell you what he had to say here. Tucker Carlson, in talking about Kim Jong-un's regime, said, quote, "You've got to be honest about what it means to lead a country. It means killing people. A lot of countries commit atrocities, including our allies." And then he added, "It's silly and stupid to point out that Kim Jong-un is so mean." I think he's trying to be the anti-Bolton on this, frankly. John Bolton went in, you know, with guns loaded, accusing Kim Jong-un of everything under the sun and talking about how tough we're going to be with him. So perhaps that was what Tucker Carlson was there for, to try to smooth over the damage that John Bolton had done, even if it struck some people the wrong way. As he said, it's not a choice between evil people and great people. It's a choice most of the time between the bad people and the worse people. Well, that's true enough. And it's yet another reason why we should not have these entangling foreign alliances, why we should not go abroad seeking monsters to destroy, because as Tucker Carlson pointed out, there's no good people in most of these places. And if anybody in any of these countries that we have gone to war with for regime change, if any of them had the slight inclination to create a society that was a democratic republic along the lines of our government, after we got through with them, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. After we started bombing civilian populations, I'm sure that they didn't want anything that looked at all like our country. Whatever we do, it kind of blows back in the opposite direction on us. As I was talking about Tulsi Gabbard being the only candidate, the only candidate in both parties. I don't know if President Trump supports this anymore. Putting America first. Ending these wars. I mean, he says he does, but then he puts people in who oppose him on this, and then he bows down to whatever they have to say instead of getting rid of them. So I don't really know. But he's not getting it done either way. When you look at what is going on in the back and forth, and you have all 10 Democrat hopefuls, when they were asked what the greatest geopolitical threat to the United States is today, the answers, as Zero Hedge points out, were ridiculous. They were outdated, or they were elementary. They went things like Russia, China, or Trump as the greatest geopolitical threat that we face. Nobody said terrorism, did they? And yet we have got how many wars? Is it 7, 8, 9, 10? Who knows? All of them justified with the authorization for the use of military force to fight terrorism after 9/11. And yet not a single one of these 10 Democrats on Thursday night, when asked what is the greatest geopolitical threat to us, none of them said terrorism. Now, that wouldn't have been the case 4 or 8 years ago, right? They would have all said terrorism. And so if terrorism is not the threat now, and again, as we've said many times, a war against terror, that is a war against a tactic. You haven't even defined the enemy. And that was very clear in the back and forth between Ryan and Tulsi Gabbard. You know, he was confused about even the official government story about 9/11, which I don't believe. But he was confused about that story. It was like, oh, yeah, the Taliban attacked us. No, no. The Taliban was the government in Afghanistan. It was actually supposed to be Al-Qaeda that attacked us. And Tulsi Gabbard corrected him on the official government narrative. But, you know, we when you look at Al-Qaeda, or you look at the Mujahideen, or you look at ISIS, and you look at John McCain, all of these people have been supporting this all along, and now they're not even perceived as a threat by the Democrats. So why do we still have these wars going? The Ron Paul Institute asks, have you heard of the CIA's Iran Mission Center? Have you heard of that? I hadn't heard of that. In 2017, the CIA created a special unit that they call the Iran Mission Center to focus on overthrowing Iran. This initiative was started by John Brennan, and it was continued by the Trump administration under Mike Pompeo, who succeeded John Brennan as CIA director. So this came to fruition. It was initially John Brennan's plan, but it was brought to fruition by Mike Pompeo. And they have continued this policy. And it's very troubling when you look at the personnel that are involved in this. As a matter of fact, the guy that they appointed to head the Iran Mission Center is Michael D'Andrea. And he was the guy who ran the post 9/11 torture program. He also ran the CIA's counterterrorism center administrations, and torture was central to his approach. He's also the guy that, along with John Brennan, instituted the drone kill program, targeting people just because they seem to roughly fit the description. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Robert Barnes, what has big tech become?
Big tech are big babies that have become big bullies, and the way they did so is because they faced no consequence, social, economic, political, or legal, for their illicit activities over 2 decades. And because of that, that's why the courts, the judges, the juries, the members of the independent free press that care about this, the ordinary members of the public and the audience that care about this, have to bring real social, political, economic consequence to their course of conduct. Otherwise, they will never change, and they will become the big tech oligarchs, the equivalent to the big trust of the 19th century, who ran American politics and ran American economy almost into the ground until we were able to recover after the Great Depression. The InfoWars audience is the fuel that flames the light of liberty across the world to make real the actions of independent free speech, to make real the original promise of an independent free press. Real collusion is big tech and big media manipulating and working with each other to try to meddle with elections, to try to shape people's thoughts.
And then the whopper of telling us the whole time it's not happening.
It's the ultimate form of gaslighting. What you just saw isn't what you just saw. Even it is what you just saw.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
So the InfoWars model is a self-fulfilling, self-supporting structure that is promoting free press and free speech by people getting together and supporting one another and sustaining one another. It is the only independent press of this size and scale, of this public reach. It is the one model that says, here's a way to have a self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-structured, little d-democratic structure that, because the audience determines what content goes up, the audience determines what audience is ultimately reached by their choices in supporting InfoWars. And it's all because the audience spends their whatever it is, whether it's $5 or $50 a month on products that they like and that they want that actually compete with the corporate-driven model. And the ability to do that and at the same time support press, support speech, support letting the audience choose what news they want to see and what views they want to hold. And it's the ultimate American democratic expression and experiment, and it is the celebration of free press and free speech with free markets.
Serving with InfoWars is a great honor, but I still need my morning coffee. And luckily, our break room at the InfoWars headquarters is stocked full of high-quality InfoWars store Patriot Blend coffee. Grown in the high mountains of southern Mexico, the Chiapas farmers grow 100% organic, non-GMO coffee at the ideal altitude for the perfect cup. A robust coffee with great flavor and mild acidity. There has never been a more important time to support InfoWars. So if you love coffee, and if you want to fight for freedom, then you can help. Order now at the InfoWars store. Sign up for AutoShip and get your own high-quality supply of Patriot Blend coffee delivered right to your door at InfoWarsStore.com.
Clown World, InfoWars.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's already being printed. Your new ultra limited edition Clown World t-shirt will be shipped out to you. And on the back, like a concert t-shirt, Clown World 2020, Cory Booker and all the rest of the usual suspects. We're going to have live coverage, and there's only 5,000 of these being printed. And that's it, and it funds the operation. It's a Clown World, and we're just living in it. Celebrate the circus that is Democratic debates. This exclusive limited time Clown World shirt, $19.95, really soft, nice, high quality fabric, whole nine yards for everybody, no reviews yet, and yes, we're running store-wide free shipping, 50% off of the supplements and double Patriot points, and that's how we fund this operation. Thanks to you, the amazing audience, and this amazing crew, and everybody else, we will prevail. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Please support us today. These sales are big.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to say one more thing about where we are with Iran. And, of course, this is the CIA's war, as all these wars are. Gina Haspel and the people with her that were part of the torture regime fed false intelligence to the Bush administration. Many officials there were lied to. They said, hey, we got this information here that we got from people talking about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and it was the product of torture. And when the people who got that intelligence, who had acted on that to push the case for war, saw that it was a product of torture, they knew they had been lied to. And, of course, the American people now know that we have all been lied to. And the source of that lie, where it all began, where they came up with the justification for the lies, even the people who were in on it, knew that it was a product of torture. Gina Haspel. And along with her now, this person who has been appointed the head of the Iran Mission Center. That's a thing. That's a thing created by the CIA. Michael DeAndre, as pointed out by the Ron Paul Institute, is somebody who was right there, central to his program and his approach was the interrogation program, the enhanced interrogation program, the euphemism for torture. And it was DeAndrea who expanded the CIA's drone strike program, in particular the signature strike. What is a signature strike? Well, a signature strike is a very controversial thing, as Ron Paul Institute points out. The CIA was given the allowance to kill anyone who fit a certain profile. You know, a man of a certain age, for instance, with a phone that had been used to call someone on a list. That's all they needed. That's why they've killed so many innocent people. That's why it has blown back so bad in our face. That, along with the fact that, you know, their disposition matrix, as they call it, which is essentially just an assassination list, saying that, all these people that come here, they treat them as American citizens, even legal immigrants, they can now kill them without due process. How's that for citizenship values there? Maybe the people coming across the border ought to think about that. I also point out that he is very close to the Gulf Arabs. You know, those people who want to overthrow Iran. We are being used as patsies by these people. You have these different Gulf states. You have the UAE. You have Saudi Arabia. You have Israel, for example. All of them, for whatever reason, economic, political, religious, and understand that these various Arab states have a deep religious animosity towards other Arab states who are a different sect of Islam. For all these different reasons, they want to get rid of Iran. And, of course, then there's also the oil issue. Yeah, we're not there simply for their petty sectarian hatred and political hatred. No, it's also about the oil. We don't want to let the Russians have a pipeline across Syria. We don't want them to have a pipeline across or have access to Iran's oil. We want to be the – we want to use oil as a weapon against the Soviet Union, and that's a big part of why we are there, not just to be the unpaid mercenaries of these people with their vendettas. But Michael DeAndrea is also part of the Gulf Arabs. They point out in the Ron Paul Institute article, it said, Gulf Arabs have been pushing hard for this action against Iran. A view shared by DeAndrea and parts of his team. So much so that they call him, his nickname is Ayatollah Mike. DeAndrea and people like Bolton are part of the ecosystem of men who have a visceral hatred for Iran and are close to the worldview of the Saudi royal family. That, folks, is why we're there. And why do we allow the Saudis to push us around? Well, you know, that deal that we made with the devil was made by Henry Kissinger when he crafted the petrodollar. Decided they were going to take us off the gold standard. Well, they admitted that we were off the gold standard. All of our allies were saying, hey, after World War II, we were going to be the global currency standard. And they said, yeah, but you said your currency was backed by gold, but you're just printing paper without any connection at all. They were getting very angry about the fraud. And so, you know, Kissinger and we'll just change the basis of our currency. We'll just break any pretense of being tied to gold as the Constitution says we're supposed to be. Why? Because the founders of this country realized as they fought the Revolutionary War, you know, the phrase not worth a continental, they realized that fiat currency that wasn't backed by anything was really worthless and very damaging to everybody. And so they put it in the Constitution that our money would be backed by gold and silver. But, of course, nothing in our Constitution is of any effect anymore. So as we look at this, one final comment about war that we have there comes from Caitlin Johnstone. And she says, the forever war is so normalized that opposing it is now called isolationism. You know, we're talking about the debates, the aftermath of debates. And, of course, Tim Ryan, who nobody knew prior to the debate, was talking about how necessary it was for us to keep engaged everywhere. Well, I don't want to be engaged. I don't want to be married to the Saudis or any of these other places that we are. And in terms of trying to pull back his disastrous comments, he laid that out there, and Tulsi Gabbard came after him, effectively knocked it out of the park, and so badly, as a matter of fact, that he put out a statement the next day saying, further, we continue to reject Gabbard's isolationism. You see that? If we're not engaged in 8 to 10 or who knows how many wars, and if we're not going to be there forever, that's called now isolationism. So a constant state of war, constantly turning over other regimes, that's not interventionism. That's not colonialism or even neocolonialism. No, that is the way that things ought to be. Because we're America and we're exceptional and we don't have to have a reason to go to war with anybody. We don't need any moral justification. We don't need any political justification. And we'll continue to do the same thing no matter how many times it fails. And no matter how long it fails, we will continue down that same failed path. We lie, we cheat, we steal. We have classes for that, said Mike Pompeo. Thanks, guys, for reminding me of that. Yeah, you saw him right there. That was a B-roll for those of you watching. But anyway, that is the amazing thing. And she was, it was good for Caitlin Johnstone to point that out. Yeah, that is really now the new norm. It's so normalized that anybody that doesn't want to go to war against the entire world, as President Trump said, John Bolton, he'd take on the entire world at once. Yeah, these people have gone full Dr. Strangelove, and they have moved the Overton window to where the mind of Dr. Strangelove is now supposedly normal to the two political parties, including the Republican Party, and of course all the mainstream media that makes so much money out of selling weapons. You know, we just had a bunch of missiles that turned up in Libya. These are missiles that go, four of them they found, they go for $170,000 each. And these were in the possession of a rebel warlord who is warring against the government faction that we are supposedly backing. How did this happen? Yeah, I guess they found the label on them. It said Stark Enterprises or something, right? Yeah, how does this happen? Well, the fact is that we arm both sides of every conflict. We've been doing that for quite some time because this is about money. It's about oil money. It's about weapons money. They don't care about our lives.
It's not only that you have a unique voice in the public arena, in the public square. The other thing that's unique about InfoWars is it is the only network of this reach that is not backed by a corporate donor or corporate sugar daddy, that's not backed by some billionaire, that's not being funded by a secret foreign government. It is completely independent of all that. It is an old school American 1776 style experiment in the expression of the freedom of press and freedom of speech that, in fact, the founders were so concerned with at the beginning of the country, they actually tried to support and subsidize organizations just like this because this was the kind of press they wanted. And then ultimately we now live in an era where they've mostly been co-opted by big corporations or billionaire sugar daddies who have been able to control and manipulate what news and views the person's allowed to have or express or hear. And the InfoWars audience has broken through that. They are the bridge from the founding to the modern age, ultimate American democracy and freedom. And that's why there's been an unprecedented onslaught of deplatforming, defamation, lawfare, and libel targeting you.
Briefly, folks, please do not forget, this is the Maximum Alert. We wouldn't be here without you. I thank you for your support and your help. We're going to be steadfast in this fight. We need financial support, and we're going to put up more prominent donate buttons at InfoWarsStore.com. If you want to just give us straight donations, there's a P.O. box. If you want to mail us a check, we will put it into the fight against these globalists. We need money to fight back and to let them know we're taking action and to defend ourselves. InfoWarsStore.com is the main page. We have a huge sale going. Save InfoWars, super special, emergency special, 50% off. All InfoWars best-selling life products, all of them, 50% off. That's Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2, now back in stock. Rainforce Plus, Turbo Force, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, so many more. Stock up on the toothpaste, the coffee. Sign up for AutoShip, get an additional 10% off. And I forgot, double Patriot points. Instead of 5% off on future orders, you get 10% off. And again, cancel AutoShip anytime for free. We need the funding. Thank you for your support. We're getting a lot of support right now, but we need a lot to go into this dark night. We're not going to back down.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Viewers and listeners, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And we're under unprecedented evil attacks, as you've seen. But I wanted to take just a minute out here from the bottom of my heart to tell you how much it means to me that when you saw all those lies against us last week, the worst things you can say about people, that you knew they were liars. You went and looked it up and found out the truth. And so I feel very strong, and I feel God's hand on my shoulder, and I feel your love in my heart. And I want you to know that love is right back at you. And I want to thank you for all you've done with your word of mouth and your prayers and your financial support, because I'm committed to fight till the end, but I want to win. And without you, I'm going to be destroyed, and it's not going to be fun. But that's not what's important. The enemy could win. We're a key chess piece in this fight. We're being used by God. You're being used by God. This is providence. So I salute you, and I thank you for all you've done from the bottom of my heart.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
I just want listeners to understand, money is what allows us to beat this and stand against this. And we're seeing a lot of orders right now with the Save InfoWars 50% off, but we make only like $5, $10 on higher marked up stuff. We're making like $2 on the toothpaste at that price. And we're moving a ton of it, okay? But you move a couple $100,000 or something and you get $20,000. That doesn't pay for all the infrastructure, the bandwidth, the lawyers, the crew. So we need to sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of product. I want to expand, not contract. And for 6 months, we've not just been able to stand still. The enemy's been winning. And I have labored and labored and labored and labored on this. I like to be expanding. I like to be winning. I like to be fighting. And we are winning the info war. That's why we're so hated. But we need to be retreaded. We need to be tuned up. We need to be fixed up. We never have time to get into dry dock. We got a lot of holes shot at us. And the enemy wants to silence us. Then they're really going to plant child porn on us. Then they're going to kill me or you or anybody else. I mean, the Democrats now are going into a full revolutionary fervor funded by foreign banks and the Chi-Com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Let's talk a little bit about the border. The borderless border. And what is going on with courts and blocking the president from doing something about it, and the president following suit with that. We have, of course, it's been reported by multiple sources about how we have construction of the border wall panels has now begun in California. New reinforced panels are being used to strengthen the border wall and in the Calexico area of California. And they are installing new panels on an 11-mile section of wall near San Diego. This was existing wall. And, folks, this is what we've been talking about. Everything that President Trump says that he's doing at the border is basically refurbishing existing border walls that were there. They might have been broken down. They might not have had a nice coat of paint on it. You know, that's why we have the military down there. They are allowed to paint the walls. They're allowed to repair the walls. They're not allowed, according to the federal judiciary, to build any new walls. And President Trump says, yes, whatever, whatever. Worship the Supreme Court and their edicts, because they are the true leaders of this country. They are the Supreme Politburo. That's the form of government that we have now in the United States. We have these lifetime appointed, unaccountable, unelected individuals who now determine every aspect of our lives, and they don't care what the law says. And I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you a couple of different things that are here. We have President Trump using a new executive order to preserve part of Obamacare. They're not going to have a problem with that. They're not going to let President Trump get rid of the executive order from the Obama administration that we call DACA. They're not going to let him get rid of that, but they're not going to have a problem if he preserves part of Obamacare with an executive order. You understand? That's the arbitrary nature of these political Solons that are controlling us now. So we've got new panels that will replace existing secondary barrier with 30-foot tall steel bollards, as well as technology improvements, according to Border Patrol. So again, it's not a new wall like the We Build the Wall people did, their GoFundMe project, Brian Colfalgi. They got a wall built for 1/6 of what the Army Corps of Engineers said would take. They said, well, it's not really possible to do this, and we're not going to be allowed to legally do this. And so they went out and did it. They took a lot of flack because they weren't going to show anybody what they were doing until they got it done. They did get permits. They got fought by the local people. They said, hey, this is private property. We got it. Here's the stamp of the local people who approved it and so forth. And so you had state people who tried to take it back. You had an international organization, not part of the United States government, not part of the Mexican government, but some international organization demanded that they keep the gate open in this section is a couple of miles that they built in very little time, one-sixth of the cost and a even tinier fraction of the amount of time. These guys got it built. But, of course, we can't get anything done on public lands. They're going to continue to search for places where they can build the wall on private land. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you've got 500 miles of wall and a 2,000-mile border, does it? I mean, that's a 1,500-mile doorway is what it is. It's not a wall at all. A wall that is only one quarter built is not a wall. It is a prop. You know, you've seen all these pictures of the old Western towns that they use in movies, right? It's simply a facade at best. And there's nothing on the backside of that. You know, they just prop up something in the front. There's no walls on the side. There's no walls on the back. There's no roof. It's just a facade. And that's what we have at the border, is a facade. It's like an old West town. And you can huff and puff and blow that facade right down. A federal judge has blocked Trump now from using only $2.5 billion in military funds for the border wall. I mean, we can spend trillions of dollars in Iraq, trillions of dollars in Afghanistan. We can send a naval group to the Strait of Hormuz and pack them into that tiny area. We can send thousands of troops to monitor Iran. We can send at least 4,000 troops to Syria without ever telling anybody, without ever getting the permission of Congress or any federal judge. Nobody ever asked. Hey, when they can stop this with a lawsuit, I have to say that if Iran or Assad in Syria wants us to leave, that's all he has to do. Assad and Iran need to lawyer up. They need to sue the current administration and say, you can't put troops in Syria. You haven't gotten approval. And then you have to pull them back, right? Because it's a lawsuit. You have to bow down. No, they're not going to do that, are they? See, when it comes to unauthorized wars, they don't care what the Constitution says. They don't care what the judges say. So if a judge ordered us to bring the troops home because we hadn't gone through the process of declaring war, even bothering to define who the enemy is, what the objective is, what's the end point, what's the purpose of this, when were we attacked? No, you don't have to do any of that stuff. But you better have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed if you want to send American troops to the border to protect the border, because you're not going to be allowed by a federal judge. Just one federal judge out of about 3,500 federal judges is all it takes to stop the president. And again, Obama, whenever he got blocked by a federal judge, would say, we'll see you in court. And he continued to do what he wanted to do. Not so with the Trump administration. A California federal judge issued a ruling blocking President Trump from using $2.5 billion in military funds to build a wall along the southern border. We're not going to be allowed to use the Department of Defense to defend America. Its only purpose is to overthrow foreign governments and to invade other countries that haven't attacked us. Judge Haywood Gilliam, an appointee of Obama, ruled to permanently block the $2.5 billion after he had issued a temporary injunction in May to stop the administration's use of the funds. And so it's going to stymie several construction projects in California, Arizona, and New Mexico. Not clear now whether or not they can even paint the fences that are there. You know, that's what the military's been doing. We've had the military and the Border Patrol acting as nannies and, concierges, I guess we should call them, instead of customs and Border Patrol, we should call it the concierge Border Patrol, because we're here to see to your every travel needs. Can we provide you with housing? How about transportation? We can get you on a plane and fly you into the United States. You don't even have to go through TSA. We'll expedite everything for you. Give you your $1,000 card here. Make sure that you sign up for your free health care, your free education. And we'll get you on those voting rolls as well, too, because that's what the Democrats want. Trump, however, when we look at this, we've got a federal judge blocking using the military to defend the border. Can't build a border wall. You've got another case where the Supreme Court is now going to decide DACA. But this is an executive order that they're not going to have any trouble with at all. As New American points out, Trump is using an executive order to preserve part of Obamacare. And the judiciary, the deep state, the administrative state, the swamp, you know, the mainstream media, the corporate media, none of them are going to have a problem with this. But I have a problem with it. And so does the New American. An executive order recently issued by President Trump makes it much easier for people seeking medical care to know beforehand exactly how much their care will cost. Well, who would oppose that, right? See, because we're all about pragmatism, and we don't care about principles, and we don't care about the rule of law or where this should happen. I mean, if you want to have this happen, it'd be a good thing to have this happen. It'd be a good thing for the states to do it. And we have the newly minted senator from Florida, Senator Rick Scott, who used to be the governor of Florida. He didn't think it was worthwhile to do that while he was governor. That's where this should be done. It'd be nice to have rules like that, say, hey, you need to be upfront about your costs and so forth. But that's not something that the federal government has. And the fact that President Trump, I'll read you the executive order. It's very troubling to me because I remember when President Trump was running, he had a very detailed, excellent take on health care that obviously was something that somebody underneath him had written, put out there, some policy wonk, and he never even bothered to read it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Just like the Constitution.
InfoWars and free speech and your right to speech has been under unprecedented attack the last year or so. It's Orwellian. It's biblical. It's authoritarian. It's insane. And I keep trying to judge and gauge when is the right time to have to stumble up on deck as the captain of this operation and say, hey, we're sinking. I've begged for your support before, and thanks for keeping us afloat, but this is the real SOS. If you don't buy a bunch of products and spread the word and keep fighting, InfoWars will be shut down, not just crippled. And so we've reached that point. It'll make the enemy happy, but, you know, whatever. We have withstood so many of their attacks. We've gone through so much because of your support. You have been there. But let me tell you, they are pissed they haven't been successful, and they're giving us their full assault, so we need your prayers, your financial support, and your word of mouth now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's your fight. Decide whether or not you want InfoWars to continue, because we could be shut down.
In the 40 years that I've been in American politics, I've never seen a situation with the mainstream media in which facts and truth and evidence no longer matters. The false claim that you purposely sent kiddie porn to the Sandy Hook plaintiffs is ludicrous as well as false. It's a smear. Somebody sends you something that's encrypted. You don't even open it. It ends up swept up in the discovery of 9 million documents, and then it's blamed on you. This is Kafka. This is bizarre. But the way the mainstream media rushes out to say Jones sent kiddie porn is really outrageous. I have a lot of respect for those media outlets and those commentators who retracted and corrected and clarified. But I wonder, where are the big boys? Where's the Wall Street Journal? Where's Associated Press? When are they going to report that they made a mistake and what they said about you was inaccurate? So we both need your help, and I urge folks to continue to support InfoWars with your dollars.
I talk about this on the air, and I know it sinks into people, but I've decided that we're going to kind of reboot all our supplements, and that if you go back 5-6 years ago, before all the censorship and attacks and fake lawsuits and the rest of it, I would talk about how great the products are and how they were the best and why they were, and I'd have doctors on and experts to explain why they were so good. And instead, the last few years, I'm like, hey, we need to really support us, or they'll shut us down. The biggest thing people like to buy is supplements because they know how great they are and how wonderful they work. And the left always has headlines everywhere. Jones sells unapproved supplements that he claims are supplements. No, under federal law since 1996, you can't say that a supplement has been through the FDA because they have no jurisdiction and won't look at it. But then they say you've got to say it's not approved by them. And all drugs are is the system trying to tweak what's in Mother Nature and manipulate it and do different things. And a lot of drugs work great. They have side effects, not with Mother Nature. But Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about God's medicine chest. InfoWarsStore.com. Or 888-253-3139. I want to be very, very clear with everybody about all of this. We're going into the season of war, and they have been inches from shutting down the final bank accounts we have due to their criminal activity and their digital fraud. And we need to know that we've got capital to go 6 months a year. We need to end here. We need to be provisioned. And you've got my total commitment that I am going to rampage forward against the enemy fearlessly. I'm loving every minute of this because I know I'm getting under their skin. I'm bloodying them up politically. I'm banging heads with them, and they can't help but attack back with lies, and that just brings more people here. So I'm in one hell of a fight, and so are you, and I need war bonds. I need gas. I need ammo politically now. But literally, if you flood us with money, and if you flood us with product purchases, and if you flood us with your word of mouth, you're unstoppable. We're unstoppable together. I want to send a strong message to the enemy. I want to raise a couple $1 million right now to let the enemy know that their attacks are failing and that you will stand with us, and I will never back down. You have my commitment. This only gives me more energy and more understanding of what we're facing and that we were right about this.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have one more segment, and I want to finish up on this absurdity of executive orders. Some executive orders are allowed. Some executive orders, even by previous executives, you cannot overturn, says the court system. Of course, that is patently false and absurd. And yet when President Trump comes out with an executive order to preserve part of Obamacare, I'm sure they're not going to have any problem with that at all. And we're going to take a look at what Facebook is doing as well. They just had an audit that concluded. This is an audit that has been going over the last year. And, you know, they set up these different organizations to give them plausible deniability for their censorship. And this is one such head fake. And they have now just come out with their pronouncements saying that, oh, you know, Facebook is going to have to step up its policing of our speech because, you know, there's just too much hatefulness out there. Yeah, we noticed, but they're not talking about Antifa. They're not talking about the LGBT hatred that comes after anybody that doesn't agree with them. Yeah, they're not tolerant of anything. But they're going to fight misinformation, Facebook is, that's going to be linked to the 2020 U.S. Census. Now, again, I don't think that most conservatives really understand how important the census question is. They don't have to give the vote to foreign citizens criminally trespassing here if they count them for the purpose of political power. If they count the people that are in the sanctuary states that are foreign citizens, they will get greater representation in Congress, greater representation in the Electoral College, and it is mission accomplished even if they don't give the vote to these people. As a matter of fact, it might even be better for them. Who knows? They might vote Republican. And so the off chance that that might happen, they don't even have to worry about that. But the rigging of the census, the rigging of the elections by Facebook is absolutely Orwellian, the language that they use in terms of the hypocritical language that they use. Oh, we're just going to have to do more with this. You know, we know, they said, we know, and this is Engadget, licking the boots of fascist book. Civil Rights Task Force created in December will be formalized and take on additional expertise across a range of issues, they said breathlessly. Experts who will recognize trends in voter suppression. Voter suppression? Information suppression? That is what Facebook was created to do. That is the hypocrisy of all of this stuff. They say Facebook knows that social media manipulators are targeting many politically sensitive issues and not just elections. And Facebook clearly doesn't want to risk being asleep while hostile actors skew important political moments. Are you kidding me? These are the same people who go on record, you know, the Googles and the Facebooks. And, oh, we got to make sure another Trump thing doesn't happen like happened in 2016. And they already made sure of that in 2018. You want to talk about social media being manipulated? That is the purpose, the mission statement now of both Facebook and Twitter. It's also the mission purpose of Google, that so-called search engine that is now weaponized to hide information, not to help you find it. They are the ones. We're supposed to believe that some nebulous Russian group with $100,000 worth of ads did something on their platform when their entire platform is rigged against this. You know, that's the same thing that was coming out with Jimmy Carter still selling that line. And it kind of blame the Trump administration because they didn't push back hard enough against that lie. President Trump was given a briefing by William Binney, and he's had multiple people talk about the fact that this was not a hack. Technically, it couldn't be a hack. We've had Julian Assange, the guy who said that he got the information handed to him by an internal whistleblower, say that it wasn't a state organization, that it was an internal DNC whistleblower. So we have all that information, but the people in the Trump administration are just too timid to take that on. And so they go along with that. Oh, you know, maybe Russia interfered with that a little bit. Ignoring what Facebook and Google and Twitter did to manipulate the election. And so, in a sense, yeah, he gets that. He deserves what he gets when he doesn't push back against that. And Jimmy Carter pushes that absurd narrative. Look, even if Russia hacked the DNC, what came out of that? Let's just give that to them for a moment. Let's just assume that that's true. As ridiculous as that is, as technically impossible as it is, as William Binney pointed out, and I'm not going to go on the details of that. Let's just assume that happened. Then what you're saying is that Russia hacked the election because they told us the truth about Hillary Clinton? See, if you tell people the truth about what the Democrats want to do, that throws the election. And that's election interference. Now, I think that election interference is when you tell people lies about what they want to do to cover up what people aren't going to support. Look, I want to get into this, and I want to talk about this executive order before we run out of time. Real quickly, don't forget to support us at InfoWarsStore.com at this vital time. We have put a massive discount on all of our vitamins, minerals, supplements, even things like our toothpaste, 50% off. Free shipping store-wide, and double the Patriot points for future discounts in the future. There's so many different supplements that people will take. Do your own research. If you've got a particular problem, it could be due to a lack of a natural supplement, or it could be something that, like my wife has a situation with her sinuses. She's found the only thing that she's ever found works is pollen block. It's a natural, safe supplement. Pollen block is essentially ground up quail eggs, but it clears her sinuses like nothing. Neti Pots, nothing has ever done this. None of the dangerous over-the-counter drugs that they try to sell you for this stuff. None of that stuff has ever worked. There's a lot of very safe and effective natural products. You can now get them 50% off, free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. You are our only sponsors. You are our only hope. For an independent, free media, for free speech, we really do appreciate your support. All right, let's talk a little bit about this executive order fantasies that they keep pushing back and forth. Again, President Trump is not going to be allowed, says the court system, to use any money from the military budget to protect the border of America. That's what a single federal judge says, so we now must bow down and worship that. The Supreme Court is now going to decide whether or not the DACA amnesty cases, they're going to make a decision about that before the election. And again, as New American points out, Barack Obama told people for 3 years he didn't have the authority under federal law to grant amnesty to illegal aliens. But then in year four, he decided that he would do it with an executive order, not from him even, but from his DHS head, Janet Napolitano. And because they said, because she said, we are no longer going to enforce the law that I swore to uphold. And so they just said, well, I'm just going to defer that enforcement. They essentially granted amnesty. And then he said, wait, that works so well for children, DACA, deferred action for childhood arrivals. He expanded it to cover adults. He called it DAPA. At that point, you had a lot of state attorneys general sue to stop that, and they won in 2015. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit struck down DAPA and said it wasn't legal. And so then President Trump's Justice Department eventually said, well, yeah, the court has already ruled that DAPA is not legal. So DACA is obviously also not legal. And they said, oh, going to stop right there. Going to stop you right there. And even though it is an executive order, you're not going to be allowed to rescind that executive order. Any executive order that was put in by Obama's DHS secretary is going to be treated as if it was constitutional law. And that's really what's going on with that. So now let's take a look at Obamacare, because that is being unraveled across the different areas. But now President Trump has issued an executive order to preserve part of Obamacare. In remarks made at the White House, the president said, we're here to announce new groundbreaking actions that we're taking to dramatically increase quality, affordability, and fairness to our healthcare system. This landmark initiative continues our campaign to put American patients first. This is a truly big action. People have no idea how big it is. Some people say bigger than healthcare itself. This is something that's going to be very important. And as New American said, read that again. President Trump signed an executive order giving the federal government control over healthcare to such a scope that the federal government's control over healthcare is now bigger than healthcare itself. That should be shocking enough, but listen to the language. It says in the order, it is the policy of the federal government to ensure that patients are engaged with their health care decisions and have the information requisite for choosing the health care they want and need. And they're going to, quote, eliminate unnecessary barriers to price and quality transparency, increase the availability of meaningful price and quality information for patients, et cetera, et cetera. President Trump ran on a free market approach, which hasn't been applied to our health care since World War II. He was going to give people information. He was going to allow choice, remove the restrictions that took away our marketplace. Now they're saying, we're going to take this over. We're going to make this work. And it never works when you violate the Constitution. I wish we had more time, but that's it for today. Thank you for listening.
Clown World, Infowars.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's already being printed. Your new ultra-limited edition Clown World t-shirt will be shipped out to you. And on the back, like a concert t-shirt, Clown World 2020, Cory Booker and all the rest of the usual suspects. We're going to have live coverage, and there's only 5,000 of these being printed. And that's it, and it funds the operation. It's a Clown World, and we're just living in it. Celebrate the circus that is Democratic debates for this exclusive limited time Clown World shirt, $19.95. Really soft, nice, high quality fabric. Whole nine yards for everybody. No reviews yet. And yes, we're running store wide free shipping, 50% off of the supplements, and double Patriot points. And that's how we fund this operation. Thanks to you, the amazing audience, and this amazing crew, and everybody else. We will prevail. Infowarsstore.com or 888-253-3139. Please support us today. These sales are big.
Serving with InfoWars is a great honor, but I still need my morning coffee. And luckily, our break room at the InfoWars headquarters is stocked full of high-quality InfoWars Store Patriot Blend coffee. Grown in the high mountains of southern Mexico, the Chiapas farmers grow 100% organic, non-GMO coffee at the ideal altitude for the perfect cup. A robust coffee with great flavor and mild acidity. There has never been a more important time to support InfoWars. So if you love coffee, and if you want to fight for freedom, then you can help. Order now at the InfoWars store. Sign up for AutoShip and get your own high-quality supply of Patriot Blend coffee delivered right to your door at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.